Ladies and gentlemen, by my watch it's 6 o'clock and I'd like to call to order the February the 6th meeting of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners. Delighted to have all of you here, got a full house and that's great and a lot of other citizens online. So I'd like to open up our meeting and I'd like to ask Commissioner Corey Ballots to give us the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance if you would.
Good evening everyone, let us pray. Oh Heavenly Father, we come first of all to say thank you. God, while it's evident that you are still allowing your grace and your mercy to be with us all, we just for that reason want to say thank you. God, we ask now that you be in the midst of this meeting. God, bless all the hearts and minds that's involved on this agenda this evening. God, we ask that you bless those that's participating by way of Zoom or in person. And we just simply ask that you have your way in here, oh God. We give you glory and honor now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. And the flag is. Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Ballance. Thank you very much. So, board members, I believe you have a copy of our agenda, our meeting agenda in front of you. And I'd like to ask if there are any changes, corrections, additions, deletions from the agenda. I would like to make just two, if I could, please. At our last meeting, one of the items that we did not get a chance to get to was the issue that Commissioner Robinson wanted to talk about was communications. And I'm going to make sure I'd like to put that at the end of our discussion agenda as item six, communications under discussion, if that's okay. And I'm going to make the second one and see if we can approve them both together. And then Ms. Lori Cherry is here with us, and we had her in board appointments, but she has a presentation comment she'd like to make. So I'd like to move her up into appointments right after Ms. Nicole Outlaw. So we'll have Ms. Bertha Washington, we'll have Nicole Outlaw, and then we'll have Ms. Lori Cherry come, if that's okay, and get her out a little bit early. So that's the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and properly second. All those in favor of making the changes I mentioned to the agenda, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay? Ayes have it. Thank you very much. Also, I'd like to read into the record the conflict of interest statement. It reads as following. In accordance with the State Government Ethics Act, it is the duty of every board member to avoid both conflict of interest and appearance of conflict. Does any board member have any known conflict of interest or appearance of interest with respect to any matter coming before the board tonight? If so, please identify the conflict or appearance of conflict and refrain from any undue participation in that particular matter involved. Any conflict of interest that any commissioner would like to bring to our attention? Hearing none? Fine, we'll go forward. Thank you. Next on our agenda is the public comments. We'd like to make sure that people who come forward to the microphone, if you have a public comment, make sure you give your name, your address, and make sure you limit your public comments to 3 minutes, if you will. So any public comments from the individuals here with us? Yes, please, come forward.
Good evening, everyone. Jody Sarri, 16 U.S. 17 North. Windsor, but I live in Maryhill. I'm the fire chief of the Midway Fire Department, as well as the president of the Berkshire Firefighters Association. I'm coming to y'all tonight because I just want to follow up about the fire study and see where we're at on it. I know this is the comment, or no, under no obligation comment back to me or anything sure. like that. But still, you know, I just wanted to keep that on everyone's mind. You know, we started talking about this study in the beginning of 20, I would say February of 20.
That's right.
And, you know, I hadn't, up until a few minutes ago, I didn't have any type of update of where we were on this. And quite frankly, the only thing I was getting was rumors and bathroom talk and everything like that. And the first of this year, I had enough of it. So I started calling county manager's office once a week, and I finally got an answer just a few minutes ago on that.
Okay.
So with that being said, you know, I hear everything from one person. I hear something from someone else about what's going on. Where's it at? You know, I got one person telling me everything's been ready to go since December. It's just waiting on somebody else to do this and that. And, you know, couldn't come, you know, it was ready to go in front of y'all in January. It was ready to go in front of y'all in February. You know, I'm here because I don't want this to go another year of it being pushed down the road.
Jody, and neither do we. So I'm glad you made that comment. Let me say this. I know you said you just got some information tonight, but let me ask this. The person that's heading this up for us is our assistant county manager, David Scarborough. So David, I'd like you, if you would, to get directly in contact with Jody and make sure that he understands where we are, because we have done quite a bit of work. Right. And we want to make sure that everybody involved, and you in particular, because you represent, you know, the volunteer associations, right? Organizations. So it's important that you know exactly where we are. There's still work to be done.
Right. And
that's for sure.
I understand that completely. You know, yep. I got 11 other chiefs coming to me wanting to know where we're at. And, you know, we deal with the generation thing.
That's right.
With people who've been fighting this stuff for 40 years. And, you know, so I'm trying to be as positive as I can over this stuff. But at the end of the day, I've got to have a little bit of hope in my
That's a very fair comment. I think we all have that hope. We know that this is something that we need.
Right.
And I think we're trying to make sure we do it the right way, dot all the I's and cross all the T's. But the important thing is that we communicate what we're doing so that people can, you know, understand it, right? And have a voice in it, which is what we want. So, David, is that's okay if you get directly in touch? Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? And if you don't have a comment now, we always have another public comment section at the end of our meeting. So if there's anything that comes up during the course of the meeting and you want additional information about it or you have a comment about it, you can always come forward at the end, right? Great. So thank you. Thank you all. We do have on the phone, I understand, someone who a lot of us here on this board know very well. And she was our prior clerk to the board. And she's on the phone, LaShonda.
Yes, can you?
Yeah, I think she has a comment that she'd like to make and introduce herself to those who already don't know her. So if you could bring her in.
She is ready when you are.
We're ready.
Good evening. Thank you for that intro, Chair Weston. How is everybody?
Sarah, we're doing good. This is Sarah Tinkham, if all of you don't know, who was our clerk to the board for many years and someone we relied on dearly, and she left us. We were very sorry. But she's now in a different place. So tell us about where you are, Sarah.
Well, I am now with Roanoke Connect, and I'm sure all of you are familiar that Roanoke Connect is the for-profit subsidiary of Roanoke Electric Cooperative. So I took off my clerk hat, my 9 years of clerkhood, and I am now with Roanoke Connect, and I'm very excited to be working with the Director of Field Operations, and I am a grants and compliance coordinator, as well as responsible for a lot of community relations and even government relations. So I'm very excited, and yeah, the reason I'm here to speak to you all tonight virtually, and I look forward to meeting all of you again in person as well. But the reason I'm here to speak to you all tonight is we are looking to host what we are calling We Care Days. And ultimately, this means we want to serve the communities that are in our service area. And of course, since they heard that I had some prior contacts in Bertie County, they gave me the short straw to get in touch with everybody and work on a We Care Day in Bertie County. We are hoping to host that completely funded and organized by Roanoke Connect. We're hoping to do that by the end of March and or soon thereafter. Some of the things that we would like to try to see to do or include youth classrooms, rooms, repairing anything, painting youth classrooms, or doing anything related to animal shelter repairs, litter sweeps and cleanups, kind of similar to what NCDOT does semi-annually with their program. So yeah, we are looking forward to working with County Manager Vaughn and Assistant County Manager Scarborough to organize a date. So hopefully we can serve the citizens of Bertie County in whatever way that you guys need.
Right, Sarah, thank you so very much. I want to just ask any questions from the board to Sarah? No? Sarah, let me say this. We're very, very pleased about the work that Roanoke Connect has been doing. They're in South Windsor right now. If you've seen any of their trucks all over South Windsor, from the bridge all the way up to the town of Windsor.
That's correct.
We're delighted to see them bring real high-speed internet service to not just their customers, but to Bertie County residents. A lot of you know that Bertie was approved as part of the GREAT grant, which comes from the federal government through the state, and we're one of the first counties included in that. So we're going to be doing work with several ISPs, but Roanoke Connect is, that's home folks for us, right? And they're doing a great job, and I think they have over 100 miles so far of already line that they've put into their customers. So
they had 300 already prior to this.
Wow. So that's a big deal for us. And so we're delighted with them. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Great. All right. Next on it from our appointment section, very first on our appointments is Miss Bertha Washington from Soul Saving Station. And she's going to come up and talk about some of her plans.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Yes, praise the Lord.
My name is Evangelist Bertha Washington. I'm from Freedom of Praise and a hospital in North Carolina, 417 First Street. We're here on behalf of my bishop, Bishop Joseph Smith. What we wanted to do was do a soul saving day, giving back into the community. And we wanted to do an IGA parking lot on April the 15th, which is a Thursday. What we do, my nephew, Elder Slaughter, and I, we furnish the food, we cook. We do chicken, fish, coleslaw, potato salad, cornbread, and it's free. We invite everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, and we basically do a lot of gang banging, drug dealers, hood rats, whatever you want to call them, but everybody is still people. And the reason why we say it would be good, we call it soul saving, certainly giving back into the community. We will tell the reason why we think it would be good for Bertie. I am originally from Bertie. Yeah. I'm one of the real bad girls back in the day. Wow. Anyway, we gave one November the 12th in a hot across from my house. Me and my husband and my nephew, we furnished everything. And the results from that, we had a house across the street. I know y'all keep up with the news. We have killings and shooting. Hill Street and Pine Street is one of the worst two places in Ohio. Every weekend, there were two or three shootings and killings. When we gave the program on the 12th, being servant of God, that I'm serving, we went to the same neighborhood and invited them. After the 12th, beginning of December, if you keep up with the news, we had no more shooting, no more killing, no more robbing and raping and a hasty since we gave that program. We looked out the door one day, they was gone. The beginning of December, they moved out. We don't know when they left, how they left. But this is what came out of the program. And we're asking you to please let us do one in Windsor. We open up with a song, with prayer, we do a Bible scripture. My pastor preaches for 15 minutes on love and soul saving. And we, and the only thing we would like to know is if you would love, if you can, all the church members, bring a drink, bring a soda. If you want to give something, give. If you have clothes you would like to give to the community, give. And this is all.
Right, Ms. Washington, thank you. I know the success of the one that you had in Ahoskie, and if we can have that same kind of success here, that would be great. because you want to do this in the IGA parking lot, which is Windsor, you're really going to need to make sure that you check with the town of Windsor to make sure that they will give you the permit and let you do it. I'm sure they will. Shouldn't be a problem. But I also want to say, a lot of you may not know Ms. Washington, but I think you probably know her son. Ishmael Muldrow is her son. And Ishmael has a very, very successful business that he started here in Bertie, is now expanding like crazy over in a neighboring county, still in your district, Shelley, though. And he's doing very well. So thank you for coming. What I want to be able to do is to get some information from you so we can post it on our Facebook page and the county site. We have a lot of folks who come and looking for events and wanting to know what's going on. So once you get the official notice from Windsor, right, you can just simply call them, the county manager, Alan Castillo, and let him know what you want to do. And we can make that happen for you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for bringing it to us. Yes. No.
What's going on from that? But
to
God be the glory.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Great. Next on appointments is a small business conference announcement from some, again, one of our very own that I'm so very, very proud of. And that's a lot of you know already, Ms. Nicole Outlaw, who's a superstar in Bertie County. Truly she is. Welcome, Nicole. Welcome.
I am just before you to let you know something that the Small Business Network is up to. Recently, we've changed our name, so we are now Bertie Business Network, but still supporting small businesses. Before you, I've given just a couple documents for you to refer to. Right now, everything is pretty in the discovery phase, and just trying to pull some folks together. But back over the break, when I should have been taking a break, I wrote a grant with NC Ideas to put on a small business conference that I would like to host here. So we are going to have it hosted here at the Martin Luther King College Bertie campus site. That day is designated for anyone who is interested in even starting a small business. You do not have to be a member. The network is going to be hosting it. The three-day event will be a networking and resource fair on the first day. The second day will be a full day of sessions and guest speakers. We're going to have a guest speaker close out on the third day. That's a business owner that moved on outside of Bertie County. But the idea is that we bring the type of professional development and the needs that some of our small businesses are lacking to sustain. As you know, Small Business Network aims to support small businesses and really just to help them to get their businesses off the ground and sustain and to pull in resources that can help support them. So we will be utilizing that grant from NC Idea Foundation to fund this conference. I am just before you to let you know that, hey, this is something that's happening in the county, and Bertie will have several visitors from outside of our county coming to Bertie to help with this conference from as far as Northern Virginia and Western Carolina. So this is going to be a big deal for Bertie, and I want for the commissioners as well as citizens to be behind this event.
Ms. Outlaw, thank you. Thank you. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your day job? We know what you're doing on this thing, so they know.
That's all I have to say. You know, most of you know me from NC Growth. We are a university center that's based at the Keenan Institute, a private enterprise at UNC Chapel Hill. We provide support to businesses and communities across North and South Carolina, as well as Tennessee and Northern Virginia. At this time, we've supported communities with work for feasibility studies, impact analysis. We also have done a various market research report and business plans for farmers for small businesses. For small businesses, we do not charge a fee, and our work is subsidized for local communities. Done several projects in Bertie County with the county as our client, as well as a few small business support projects.
Okay.
I'm a program manager. I forgot to say my title, but I'm a program manager with NC Growth, and this network was formed based on the work that I'm doing with NC Growth. So it's an expansion of that ecosystem. sometimes we see that the conferences and the support is outside of our region. So my goal is to bring those resources to our backyard so that we don't have to travel 2 hours for content.
That's beautiful. Any questions? Nicole, thank you. And, you know, same thing. When you get a little closer to your date, why don't you give some of the flyers either through Robin or to LaShonda? We can post again and make sure that we get the best attendance we have. All you got to do, ladies and gentlemen, is look around the county, especially here in the town of Windsor, and see the number of small businesses that have started in the last year and a half. And it's phenomenal. We have virtually most of all of the shops that were closed 2 years ago now have small businesses in them, and they're surviving. They're doing well, in fact, they're thriving. And not just that they're there, but they're getting the kind of support that they need in order to stay healthy. So thank you.
If I may add one more thing, we do have mostly on our Facebook social media page, it's at Berkshire Business Network. You can find the flyer there, but of course, as speakers confirm, I will be updating that flyer and the information. We hope to have an event website coming in the next few weeks. So I definitely will keep LaShonda posted on
Facebook. Great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And the one change, ladies and gentlemen, that I did make to the agenda and the board approved, Ms. Lurie, we'd like to bring you up now so that, you know, you don't have to be here for the entire meeting. So please come forward. I think most of you know Ms. Lurie Chair.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
Good to be here.
Good to have
Great
you.
Good to see you.
For you as the chairman of our juvenile crime prevention council. We are going to present, this is Mike Austin, he is our district consultant for our district for Berkshire County. And tonight, I come to present to you a request of appointment from every board that serves Berkshire County, including our county manager, our commissioner, sheriff, everybody, and ask for you to make an approval for us to continue to serve the underserved youth in Berkshire County. To get our funding, I'm not going to go through that. From the state, and we don't want to lose our funding process.
Sure.
And we're going to ask in this session that we get ask you to give us permission to support our 10% guarantee with the $110,000 that we can get from the state.
Right.
And if you approve, we can ask for $220,000. Which is a 2 year
fund.
So at this time, I'm going to ask Mike to give you the update on where we are.
Thank you, everybody, for having us today. And just thank you guys for your support for all the years of juvenile prevention councils. And juvenile prevention council is all about remaining juvenile crime. And one of the things is that we're a group of individuals that get together on a monthly basis, and we try to develop strategies of how we're going to reduce crime. We want to make sure that we have programs for youth that are at risk, youth that are on probation, and youth that are coming out of our facilities. We want to make sure that we have programs in all those areas. As Ms. Cherry said, I am the assistant area regional consultant for JCPC, and our division allots of $28 million a year to juvenile crime prevention council. Berkshire County receives an allocation of $110,000 in JCPC funds. It's just as Cherry said, we've been very blessed. You guys do the 10% match. We hope that continues. And again, we will make sure that we have 14 county commissioners, one of the 7 county commissioners, get approved for our county provincial council to make sure that we're present so we can make sure we continue this to JCPC, one including the RFP that we're about to get out for the worker to apply. So that's fine.
Great.
Commissioners, their appointee is to approve our list and also to inform in writing to the agent that will serve on our board. We'll slap on the support of our agency. They want to be appointed to the board, but they don't want to serve. We don't have that. We must serve.
That's right.
We are servants, and we don't mind giving you the whatever it takes to get there. See, I see my little they just better get ready. Got a road. Got to come up behind the chairman and let you know that there's work to be done, and there is no time to say no, not at that. Thank you so much.
Ms. Chair, I have a question for you before you sit down. You have two blanks beside it says two persons under the age of 21.
We don't have any at this time that. United Way was declined that in the past, but the children at that time, we didn't have any of that to come to our meetings or to adapt.
That was my question, is when are your meetings? Because it change year to year? I guess I have multiple questions. One, can they change year to year? All right, so is it, what year is it from? Like, when's your start and end of the year?
2023, yes.
So it starts January to December. Okay. And can it be a high school?
They can be a high school. Anybody, 18, or they must be, enough to make a decision or not be involved. They need to be involved in knowing to serve on the council to represent their
And ideally, if I could. If we don't have two people under the age of 21, it can be a person that is, or somebody with public interest that's representing the interests of the family. Ideally, we'd love to have a youth that's under the age, that's actually going through the juvenile court system. They can share their experience of what works, what doesn't work. And that's ideally what I think the statute built. It's kind of the direction they're going.
Mike, and then?
I was just trying to see if I could get you a junior or senior in high school to help you out.
There you go.
That's what I was trying to do.
Great. That would be great.
I don't know anybody that's gone through the system, though, so I don't know. So reach out to Mr. Hoggard, Tony Hoggard, the principal of the high school. He should have some good candidates for you.
Yeah. And the county manager, Ms. Lurie, has said that he's working to try to get some new appointees, right, on that board.
Actually been updated. So great. Page 28 of your packet, some of it was already done, but we made some changes, Ms. Cherry, for just certain positions. There were some turnover, for instance, like with the chief of police, of course, with the sheriff, DSS director, things like that. Those updates were made. And there was a member of the business community that LaShonda, who's our clerk to the board, there was a Randy Cherry,
yes,
that mm-hmm. Chief, wanted to.
Chief Cherry.
Correct. LaShonda, did you confirm that he was willing to serve?
That's correct. He is willing to serve.
Okay. Great. So with that being said, that would fulfill all of the updates.
Right.
We were requested to make.
I think we want to make sure, Ms. Cherry, that all of these folks understand that they need to be present, right? Yeah. And be active. That's the important piece, right?
Yeah, because we can't do business if we don't have a quorum to vote it on. And
right.
We're getting ready to do the RF 14. And then we don't have one day to publish it and get it out so that the community of Bella can apply for funds so
right.
that we can put it in place.
When do y'all meet?
We meet the second Tuesday in every month.
What time?
We've been meeting at 3:00, but we are going to ask that we can change our time to a lunch time so that the people who are serving on our board can come at a lunch hour. We won't have to stay so late in the afternoon.
Last question, I promise. Where do y'all meet?
We meet at the Cooperative Extension Office and Library Complex. And we do that because we serve the under at-risk kids from the Cooperative Extension and provide the program to them.
Okay.
So if there are any questions, you can let me know.
Mike Austin, Ms. Cherry, thank you very much. Okay. Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Thank you.
Okay, great. Next on our appointments, I had the pleasure of introducing someone that many of you here know, and all of you are going to get to know a whole lot better over the next few years. The representative that Bertie County helped elect to represent us at the House is here with us, Mr. Shelley Willingham. Shelley is a very good friend of Bertie County, a great friend of everybody in the state of North Carolina, has done some great work. And Shelley, we're delighted that you're here. Why don't you come forward and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit.
We worked together for about 8 years, one real well. She's a worker.
Yes, she is.
With her, you're going to work. First of all, I want to say thank you for inviting me to come. And I am really honored to be here. And my good friend, Ron, I've known him for quite a while. And Bertie, from Dr. Beale with Bertie. I'm a Liberty City State University graduate. So I spent a lot of time out there in Bertie. You know, when we were in college, you know, everybody, no matter where you were from, all the guys thought that all the pretty girls came from somewhere other than where they live. Tell me, say, well, you got all those pretty girls in Rockin' Out in Hitchcock County, and you got all those pretty girls in Bertie County, or whatever. And that was where we were all over the place, and this is where we hung out. But it's good to be back, and I was real happy when we did this. Redistricting and the equipment I was getting birth in Calvin. I said, that's great. After all that enhanced my district. And of course, my district is all of Edgemont County, all of Martin County, and now Berkeley County. What I want to do, I don't usually make speeches, and I'll just, this is a kind of informal thing, but I just like, I like small towns. I used to live in a lot of big cities, and so I've had my share of that. And these are my favorite places. And I like coming to meetings. My car has my phone, my cell phone number on it to tell me that I'm able to bring it up. It's the only way I can talk to you. Call me. I'll listen. I'll answer. If I don't answer you, it's because I want another call. Or I don't know your name, but if you leave a message, your name will go into my file and you'll be on my calendar. If we do that. When Ron asked about, you know, coming here and talking about some of the things that I can do for Bertie County, with Bertie County, really, first thing that came to my mind, I said, let me just remind the folks that this district, you know, we have about 30 different towns. What does that mean? I mean that we got 30 different mayors, we got about 200. Over 100 and something elected officials, and everybody's asking stuff. And so I represent all these people. And so I try to do what I can to, you know, make something happen in all the places that I represent. Now, I have a list, and what I do, I carry around, I got a briefcase, and I carry around a list of whistling that I pick up as I go around to the different towns. Tell me what you want, you like it. And I have those things. And I carry them with me. They're with me at all my meetings because in the office, and you know that, you know, things happen like that. You know, if you're not ready when it happens, it's just about somebody comes up and says, well, I think we should do this. And someone says, well, I think we got the money to do such and such. But who's going to, you know, handle that? Somebody's ready to do it. So that's why I carry that around. I ask people, what do you want? What do you like to have? It's not saying that I'm going to get it for you. But it does say that I have that. I try to be at the table, and last session I was fortunate enough to be at the table. And hopefully I'll be at the table this time. So at least I can put these things out and say, hey, these are some of the things that my district needs. And so this is what I'm advocating for. And I would advocate for that. Again, I don't promise you that I'm going to get you anything, because I don't know what to do. And especially now, we do, and I say we, I'm talking about the state, we do have some money. We still have some of the COBRA money. And we have some money that's unappropriated. So, but we're going to have to, it's competitive. We're going to fight for it. If you don't have anybody advocating for you, your chance, you're not going to get it. So I can assure you that I'll be advocating for my district. And anybody who knows me, I tell everybody that how I operate is that if it's something that benefits my district, that's number one. I don't care who brings it up, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, or it doesn't matter. I don't care where it comes from. But if it benefits my district, number one, that's what I'm going to fight for. The state comes second. And it doesn't matter what I want. I want what you want. Because I want to satisfy you. The only reason I'm there is because you did that. And I enjoy doing what I do. And I tell people once if I wake up one morning, say, like, gee, I don't want to do it. I'm so tired of this day. I'm not going to relax. I'm going to call up. Hey, speaker, I'm resigning to take this now. Because I don't want a job. I've been offered some, in fact, the last couple of years, I've been offered positions on particular sort of hand committee, you know, these boards. I don't want a job. I'm not looking for a job. I like what I'm doing. What I'm doing now is I don't consider a job. Because when it becomes a job, then I'm going to give it up. You know, I won't be there. Because I enjoy what I do, and it makes me feel good. So I'm going to keep doing this as long as I can. Let me say the process that we work with in the General Assembly, each biennium is either the Senate or the House. It was in the Senate last biennium, this year or this biennium, the budget starts with us in the House. What this means is that we'll have an opportunity to put together a budget for things that we we want to try to get. Now, hopefully this year we'll do like we did last year. Senate was doing the budget, we were doing the budget all the same time we were talking to each other. So then finished, it came out one budget, and then it went straight to the conference, and we had a conference, then we voted out. Where beforehand, what happened is that the Senate did a budget, we did a budget. They debated our budget, we debated their budget, and then we pass ours, they reject ours, back and forth, and it just happens. So hopefully this time we'll do the same we did last time. So all the talking at the same time. But the House has the leadership in this particular instance. So we are in the process right now. The budget process has already started. It started before we went back up. So people have already started in their request is trying to maneuver to get to a position where they can have their wishes known. So I'm doing the same thing. So what I say to you is what I said to another group last week, you tell me what your wish is, you have to give it to me. Accept that. And as a matter of fact, I have a meeting this Wednesday. Budget people. And so I'm going to have my list and I'm going to start what I call, I have to start my thing. And so, only thing I don't like about my job, I have to but hey, that's okay. But it's good that I'm in a position where I can. So I ask you, put your priority list together of ideas that you want me to work toward, and I'll work at it. for the Senator knows too that, you know, those votes are, we have to get it done in the House, and then we got to have somebody over the Senate side to take care of that. What's it? Hennett, Senator Hennett, who I know, friend of mine.
Couldn't be here tonight.
So you can do things that he's doing in the Senate and take care of the House. So, in a way, we have a good working relationship, and I think we both have good relationships with leadership. So, all of these things are important. And so, I think that the way things are, I think what will happen is that we will try to make sure that everybody gets something. What you get, how much you get, I have no idea. And I will not stand here and tell you what you will get or what you won't get. So feel free to, you know, let me know what it is that you're trying to do or what you'd like to do. And again, as I said, I'll do everything I can. I'll work 100% to try to make it happen for some of it.
Right.
And feel free to call me from my office. I'm usually... Yeah, I had it set up before I got here. I was in Martin County at least twice a week. So now I'm extending that to Bertie County, so I'll probably see me down here at least twice a week somewhere. When you don't expect something to happen. So, but if you have anything or if some place you think I need to be, you know, feel free to call me, let me know. Let Ron know, he can always get in touch with me.
Thank you, Shelly. Thank you very much. You. Any questions, Shelly, before you leave?
Can we get a cell phone number from you?
I'll get my car.
That'd be great.
There you go. I got it right up there.
Give me 24/7. I tell people, I'll answer the telephone up till 4 o'clock.
Representative.
Don't think of the sleep. Well, I don't think it's told because he might be asleep. I get in bed about 1, but I need that hour.
Well, I'm going to tell a little story. When Shelly got elected, the first conversation I had with him is he said, Ron, I need to know your top priorities, things that you need for the county. Shelly, we're having a 2-day work session coming up this month. We're going to be able to give you, you know, not just the list of them, but some detail about why these things are important and what we need in each area. So we're going to share that with you also with Bob, and we look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Very much so. Very much so. Thank you. And we're also delighted to have next up is, again, a guest that many of you know, Bob Steinberg. Next Senator, Bob, please come forward. A lot of you don't know, but Bob represented Eastern North Carolina, not Bertie, but areas around us for many years. He's no longer in the Senate, but he's working, and we have engaged him as a lobbyist to work with us on issues that relate to the work that we're doing and trying to do and needing to do and help us get and working with our elected officials too. So Bob, delighted to have you here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and fellow commissioners, Representative Willingham. I think he described the process very well as to how the budgeting process goes. The one thing that he didn't mention, but I know that he's well aware of, is the first thing that the two bodies will do, the House and the Senate, they will agree on a spend number or try to agree on a spend number. Then you will see the House and the Senate take that amount of money and they will allocate it as they see best fit. But the thing that's the most difficult to do, it seems to me, has been traditionally is getting both sides to agree on a number. So that will be the first thing that will take place. And once that happens, then we'll be off to the races. I have had the opportunity to chat with a couple of you, and we talked a little bit about some of your goals coming up in terms of things you'd like to see funded in the budget. And you've got a number of things. You got a lot of things going on in Bertie County, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, you've got, but that's good. I mean, there's a lot of positive things going on. What I have tried to emphasize to those that I have chatted with is that we need to be really, I think we will be best served by concentrating primarily on infrastructure issues, because as the representative stated, there's a lot of infrastructure money that's available. There's a lot of money that has to be spent within a certain period of time. These are the federal dollars. So it's everybody's going to be asking for it. And so we need to do what we can do to get those things that that we would would like to see done. A couple of the requests that I'll just mention, one of them is the new animal shelter over here in Bertie County, which I think you're looking for like $1.1 million, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that is something that's worthy of pursuit, and certainly as the representative said, we can't promise anything, but that looks like that might be a doable item. And the other thing is that wonderful project you have, the tall glass of water. And I have been privy to see the numbers on stage two of that particular project. And we're looking at a fairly sizable sum of money there, maybe $4.5 to $5 million. I would remind you, as I reminded you or shared with you rather last time, that a lot of times when we make these requests, we don't get all of it, everything in that particular request in one budget cycle. You may, for example, we're looking at $4.5 million for phase two with the tall drink of water. Well, you may get some of that money in the first year, you may get some of it in the second year, and you may not get the rest of it until the third year, which would be the first year of the next biennium. So it's it's not Christmas. I mean, there's a lot of people with a lot of requests. I didn't realize, Representative, that you had so many towns in your district. And he's right; they all have needs. So I've been talking with some of the appropriation chairs on both sides of the General Assembly, both in the House and the Senate. The House will be kicking off, and with a budget this year. And we have, in a very broad way, thrown out there a couple of items that get them thinking about it and chewing on it. But what I need to do is work with the representative, because he will be the one that will be presenting these items, and he's got to go along with these things. But these are not my wishes; these are what you all have expressed are your wishes. The economic dynamics here in Bertie County, you've alluded to some of the things that are happening on a local level here with small business and so forth, a lot more people coming back from COVID and reopening businesses or starting new businesses. And in your words today, you said that they seem to be doing very well. So that's most encouraging. And we're seeing this throughout Northeastern North Carolina as well. So I'm excited about the opportunity to be able to work with all of you, and I'm certainly honored to be representing you. You're officially representing them, but I'm going to be representing them in another matter, which is trying to do what I can on behalf of your needs, lobbying for you with both sides of the General Assembly. You've got an excellent representative here who's not only he's just a stand-up guy, straight shooter, good guy. I've known him for a number of years, and his word is his bond. If he tells you something, you can count on it. And if he says he'll be in the district, he'll be in the district, because that's what he does a couple of days a week. And that's very, very important. So I would just say this. I want to mention this to you also. There was a request for some additional funds for the Tri-County Airport as well. And I think it was $2.5 million, if I'm not mistaken. I was copied on something from Tammy.
I think that's the runway expansion.
Yes, right. Yes. So I think that's important as well. I don't think there's anything on your wish list that isn't important. They're all important, but we've just got to try. What items are going to bring the greatest economic returns the fastest? And that's kind of, I think, what I'm talking about here. I see with these items, I think they're items that will be very helpful. So I'm encouraged by my ability to, even at this juncture, to be able to, early juncture, to be able to work with you so well and find you so accommodating and getting to me the information I need to move forward. So I'm your servant. I am working for Bertie County, and I will do whatever I can to try and bring all of this with the representative and Senator Hannig to fruition in the next biennium.
Thank you so much, Bob. Questions from members of the board? Bob, I want to say that we wanted to have Bobby here tonight, but he had a conflict, so we've invited him for our next month meeting. And as I said to Shelley, we have a planning session, a two-day session that we're going to be working, putting a little, you know, sharpness to some of those needs in terms of quantification, how much we really need specific programs. And we want to be able to share those things with you and with our representatives, right?
Can I attend those? I mean, or is it something?
Yeah, those are open. Yes, sir.
I'd like to sit in and just hear what everybody's got to say. So if I can be furnished with a specific, if I can work it into my calendar, I would like to participate. If I can't, I say participate, two ears, one mouth, just kind of listen and see if I can get further delineation and facts as it relates to just exactly what it is that you're attempting to do. So
very good. Juan will share that with you.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay.
We'd love
appreciate
to have you.
That.
Thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much. Thank and you. I want to say it's going to be a great opportunity, folks. We have, you know, Shelley, who's in the House now, working on the House side. We have Bob, who has a lot of his experience on the Senate side, and have them working together with Bobby, who's our new representative on it for the on the Senate side. So I think we got a great team.
Well, Shelley and I served in the House together.
That's
so we did that as well. So you've got a good man there, Bobby Hannig. Senator Hannig's a good man. And I'm going to work hard. So I think between the three of us, Bertie will have a smile on his face at the end of this 2 year cycle. I hope so, certainly. We're going to give it our all.
Great. Thank you, Bob.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. So much. Thank looking you. For great productivity.
Yes, sir.
Our two great men.
Well, listen, I appreciate you, sir, and we're going to give it our all. I promise you.
Great. All right.
Thank you all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you all. Thank you.
Next on our appointments, we have our tax administrator, Jody Ray. Jody? And I have a report on delinquent property taxes and approval to advertise.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Evening.
Evening.
Yeah, sure. In your packet is the annual notice report of delinquent property for real and delinquent taxes for real and personal property. Real property as of the end of January, the delinquent amount was $849,423.35, which is slightly better than last year. Personal property, $115,910.90, for total outstanding for 2022 taxes only, $965,334.25. Attached to that, by statute, is an order to advertise the tax liens. That just needs your approval.
Okay, great. Any questions for Jody before we put it to a motion to advertise? Any questions? Everybody's familiar with the delinquent tax process? If folks are listening right across the hall right now, right?
That ended in January.
End of January.
Yeah.
I make a motion to move forward to advertise.
Second. Great. Motion moved properly second that we move forward. Give Jody the authority to advertise. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. And last but certainly not least on our appointment section is the fiscal year 22-23 financial summary by our finance director, William Robertson. Hello, William.
Good evening.
A little bit different from what I normally do. I was able to get you the sheet and have it put in the agenda. So hopefully you've had a chance to look over it. I want to point out a couple of things in case you haven't had a chance to look over it. This is a financial update through December. And December being halfway through the year, 50% is our goal. So if you look down, you see our revenues at 46.9. So we're kind of close to that. If you go down to other sections in the expenditures, I have a couple I want to talk about. Information technology center is at 66%. Well, if you remember the last meeting, I just got an approval to put some insurance money back in there to cover some damages from before. Most of that's going to occur from the damages that we replaced the equipment. So that's going to actually come down percentage-wise after I make this budget adjustment. Another one is medical examiner. I actually have no control over that, 79.2%. And that's basically deaths in the county that have to require autopsies. So unfortunately, this indicates we've had quite a few in the county. So that's a number that's really beyond my control. Go a little bit farther down, you have soil conservation. That's at 69.4. That biggest thing there was the Long Branch project, which they got grant money for, and we've done the project, but the money was spent, so that makes the percentage look kind of high for that area. Okay. The rest of it are pretty close. Unless y'all have some questions you'd like to ask, I don't really have anything that really jumps out at me.
As far as grants, how many grants do we have out there that we've paid on, we haven't been reimbursed as of yet?
As of December, none.
Okay.
Coming up in January, we have one for Tallgrass Water that was the AR Chesson, which was pretty big. But if I'm not badly mistaken, I think Robin is working on the reimbursement to go ahead and file that. And hopefully it won't take long to get that back.
You know the numbers?
Like 265,000, I believe it was.
Okay, well, that's a heck of a lot better than 877,000 on the library.
Yeah, so. But that just came in last week. And we're trying to process it and get the paperwork in as quick as possible to try to get that turned around.
Okay. Before the end of the budget, that would be great, right?
I definitely want to get in for this year.
For sure.
I've already talked about it. I don't even want to pay any bills out in May and June.
The other thing I want to bring to the attention, everybody just look at it. December 21 total kind of capital management trust. We have $7.8 million right now. Same time at December 31st, 22, we got $11.3 million. So that does tell you everything is heading up in an upward direction. I think our fund balance audit I saw had increased by almost 6.5% from last year.
I was a little disappointed with it, but I think a lot of that kind of had the fact that our expenses were a lot higher. And a lot of that, unfortunately, we had increases in programs for DSS, but we don't want to turn money down if they're going to give it kind of jacked our.
But the other thing, too, is that we all need to look at, there was an inflation rate of last year, almost 7.5%. Okay. That budget was already put in place without the inflation rates put in there. Okay. So once you take that in, it tells you where we were looking to be around 11, somewhere right in that area. I was 11, 12 right in that area.
Yeah. I was kind of saying 10 would be kind of my guess.
But if you put the inflation rates in there, that's where we got nailed at. So that's the deal.
That's a great comment, Commissioner Trent. And one of the things I learned from working with both William and Juan is that oftentimes when we get additional money during the course of the year, additional grants or maybe existing grants that are leftover funds that still come to us, we then still have to pay that matching piece, right? Mm-hmm. And because
if it has to match, yes,
does not impact the fund balance. But the money that we have to pay out as far as matching that we had not budgeted for it does in fact impact our fund balance. So sometimes you get a good thing, but there's a little price to pay for it, but that's okay.
Well, fortunately, the ones we got near the end of last year were no matches. It was straight pass through.
That's correct. We got a couple in this cycle, small, especially through our senior services, but good. That's a good thing. All right.
Yeah, I think the 2020, 2021 is the one that nailed us pretty bad.
Yes.
That one had $890,000 that we hadn't been reimbursed.
Right close to a million.
It was right before budget session. Yeah. It was like done. Out.
Yeah, I think that taught all of us a whole lot.
about draw systems and things of that nature, and when reimbursements need to be made.
Yeah.
What is the fund balance?
What was it in audit? Seven.
As of June.
Yes, it was.
7.2, 7.4
right in there.
So it depends on exactly what your question is. If you're talking about fund balance, I'm not just kind of complicated. If you're talking about available fund balance, as of a fiscal year ending June 30, 2021, it was 1.6 million available fund balance. And of course, our audit presentation for fiscal year ending June 30, 2022 will take place, which you might be doing, it's not, will take place
on March 6th. And we're expecting that to go up about $300,000. So we're expecting that to be about 1.9, as you'll see then. But available, 1.6 total is way more than that.
7.2.
To the 7 million.
Right? Yeah. Great.
Any additional other questions?
William? Yeah. Great. Thank you, William. Thank you very much. Okay, so that includes our appointment section. And then we're going to move to our board appointments. There were a couple of things here on, I think we can, we've already dealt with JCPC. So we have two other appointments. One is to the Tri-County Airport Authority, and the other is to appointment of Child Fatality Prevention Community Child Protection Team. I think we have one, if you'd like to handle this on the appointment to the Child Fatality. We already have a interest person that we're going to assign to that.
Yes, this board requests that someone from a law enforcement officer be appointed, and we like to recommend the Sheriff Tyrone Ruffin, who has agreed to serve in that capacity.
Thank you, Sheriff. You've heard the appointment, the offer to appoint Sheriff Tyrone Ruffin to the position on the Child Fatality Prevention Community Child Protection Team. Do I hear second?
Second.
It's been moved to properly second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Sheriff, thank you, sir. Thank you for representing direct yourself, not just putting somebody on your team. We appreciate that. Thank you. And next is the appointment to the Tri-County Airport Authority. I know there was some discussion earlier during the week about last week about our prior County Commissioner, Ms. Lee, Tammy Lee, had served only as president of that for a couple of years. And we wanted to try to keep her in that appointment, but we weren't sure whether or not the statute would allow us to do that. Does it have to be a commissioner? Can it be someone other than a commissioner? Do you have any information? Sure.
Yes, I do. According to Henry Joyner, as well as the bylaws, the person in that particular seat does not have to be a commissioner.
Ah,
of course, there was some, you know,
wonderful
rumors about 8 years ago, there was a change, and Mr. Joyner acknowledged it. However, he said that was a recommendation or, you know, a suggestion that it be a commissioner, but he confirmed that it did not have to be a commissioner.
That's wonderful news. Ex-Commissioner Tammy Lee did a wonderful job. She was president when they built the new airport complex there. Mm-hmm. She's been a big supporter of the funding they're looking for now, which is going to extend the runway so we can bring in larger kind of corporate jets and that kind of thing, which will be a tremendous asset for this area. So do the floor
I open? I nominate Tammy Lee to serve on the airport, Tri-County Airport Authority Board.
Nominated. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Moved and properly second. Commissioner Trent with the second. All those in favor? Tammy Lee on that?
Aye.
No nays? Ayes have it. Thank you. Please. Well, I know Tammy's on the call, but we'll make sure we let her know. We're delighted to have her there, have her serve. Okay. The only other thing, I think, we have two things on the consent agenda. You've had a chance, I think, to look at the register.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. We heard from Ms. Cherry and Mr. Walston regarding JCPC, but we didn't get a vote to actually approve the appointment.
The appointment tonight.
On page 28, there's a council certification. And again, the update, the names highlighted are updates from the last certification that was approved in June of 2022.
Great. Thank you.
So we will need a motion for this.
Thank you. Thank you. Floor is open. Consideration of the list of new appointees to JCPC.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second that
list. Commissioner Trent, second by Commissioner Robinson. All those in favor of appointing the list of persons on that list to JCPC, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you.
The other thing, Mr. Chairman, I think the last meeting we were in, we also has a opening on the zoning board.
Yes, there are openings on the planning and zoning. That is correct.
Okay. And I had said I'd like to serve on that, and they were looking into that also.
Oh, that's great. Okay. That's beautiful. Yeah. Okay. Great.
All right.
Motion, sir.
Yeah, let's do it right now.
Okay. I make the motion that Chairman John Trent serves on the zoning board. Yeah. Second.
Been moved and properly second that Commissioner Tripp will serve on the zoning board. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you, John.
Congratulations.
For the offer.
From, thanks.
Sorry, did you have something?
No, other than this right up my wheelhouse.
Good. That's beautiful. All right. So that takes care of the consent agenda on the register of deeds report. We have it in our, and it's, you know, we normally do it by acclamation, but again, all those in favor of approving the register of deeds report for January 23, it's in your package.
I make a motion we approve the register of deeds report for January 23.
Commissioner Trent, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Robinson. All those in favor of approving the register of deeds fee report for January 23, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Do we have budget amendments? We do.
There's a small one in there in the packet.
They're really simple. The first one is additional rollout money that was sent down to us. There's no match or whatever. It's just putting it in so we can allocate it out. The next one was some additional LEAP money that's through DSAS, the Low Income Energy Assistance Program.
Right.
And then the last one was a donation given to Cooperative Extension for program materials for their operations.
Okay.
So,
Commissioner, you've all seen those in your budget package. Any concerns, any questions concerning those amendments?
No.
Hearing none, floor's open for a motion to approve.
I make a motion we approve the amendments that have been stated.
That's Commissioner Trent. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Ballot. All those in favor, please say aye.
All
those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
Before you move on, I have
yes, please.
The discussion agenda. Under the consent, that's where we should have minutes, correct? To approve minutes.
When we have correct. Them that presented so to us, yes.
One of my questions is, why don't we have minutes from January, the last meeting? In order for me to answer that fully, Commissioner, I would like to request at the appropriate time. Well, when we do go into closed session, I'd like to respond to that pursuant to General Statute 143.318.11(a)(6), because it is directly related to the performance of an employee.
Duly noted. We'll pick that up in closed session. Great. Thank you. Next on the discussion agenda, something we've been looking forward to. You know, at our last meeting, we presented a potential list of surplus property that we wanted to try to dispose of in a way that would bring new revenue, that we could fund a development fund from this new revenue. We had a lot of property, a lot of things that we had that we thought were surplus, and wanted to be able to go over the list thoroughly, choose those that we wanted to put up, and have our tax administrator, Jody Ray, come back and cover those with us. So Jody, could you come up? Because I want to walk through each of these with the board. What we want to do here, board, is to, I want to go through the list with some specificity. Some of the areas that I think we may be able to take as a group, like foreclosures, but some of the others, I want to make sure that we are in agreement on those that we'd like Jody to go forward with to post for sale. Now, that's important. We think we can generate a sizable amount of money that can really help us for some development funds, not in the budget, you know, that we can use to do some really good things, whether it's matching dollars or whatever.
Before, can I say something?
Yes, you can.
The piece of property next to us, which was Cooperative Extension, was last. It used to be the Sheriff's Department and all that. I don't know if that's on the list or not until we go over it. But we should think about using that as a parking area.
Yes.
When we have court here, I mean, it's just people are parking all over the place. There's nowhere to park. Plus, across the street, I think Okay. He's parking area. Exactly. Right. And I think we should set that up as a parking area also. And possibly if we need to go down as far as corporate extension, if needed to the old corporate extension. Now that's just up in the air on that part. But the first two parts, I think would be very important. Plus that building next to us, it's got a lot of issues. It's got a basement in it. Every time it rains, it floods the basement over there. I mean, it fills it up like 4 foot of water inside there. Sump pumps have to be put in. It has to be pumped out the whole nine yards. You got mold issues, things of that nature. So
that's true.
Anyhow.
Yeah. That's a good point. We purchased the corner piece of property that's vacant now. It has some trees on it and it has the old building. What was that old building called, Jody? On the corner?
This one right on the corner.
It was Jack's old building. Wasn't it? He used to work in there.
It belonged to Tim Ivey.
Tim Ivey's office.
Yeah, it was apartments at one time. It is Jack was in it doing appraisals.
That's right.
I think it was Bill Bondsman then at one time.
We bought that with the idea of using that piece of property as, you know, an enhancement to our parking. If you ever been here on court day, it's almost impossible, right?
Yes.
So that's why we bought it. It has an old building on it. It's in a floodplain, right? So, you know, it's not much that we can do with it there. But we do own the property, right? But what, so that was not included on the list, but what Jody did include was the other pieces, John. There was the piece that had the old corporate extension and their parking lot to the right of it as you're facing. And there was another vacant lot there to the left between those two. We did have those two on here.
Well, I think it'd be wise for the board to look at all that because, you know, our parking is atrocious. And people are all over the place. And sometimes we probably need an extra 100 parking spaces, 150, just to put people in.
Great. Well, again, that's the purpose of us going through this. So let's look at, if everybody can have their list in front of them, you'll see a list of foreclosures first on the list. And I think there are 11 foreclosures, a total of $61,093. So it's typical that when we have foreclosures like this, we put them on the market for sale anyway. So that's the first piece that we'd like to consider.
Mr. Chairman, 403 Kubak, Kubak Road, 411 Kubak Road. I think the board would be best to deed the property to the adjoining landowner, ain't number of the driveway.
I'll defer to Jody on that.
Just a second, we'll pull it up. Yeah, so I can't get that out of the way, but that's one strip at 403 right here.
Yep, it's a driveway.
And the second one.
You get more money back from tax is the, is the tax value on the property is greater than it is now because the lot is larger. You get more now than trying to sell it because you never sell it to an individual.
That's correct.
Nothing to go
on. Ain't nothing there.
Yeah.
That's the other one?
Yeah.
The other one?
It's just
same difference. Not big enough to put anything on.
30 feet. Uh-uh. You know, if you divide up and get it to the landowners of joining the property, you get more tax value from it. Just to get off the book, and we'll make money.
I don't think you do that.
I was going to ask for your opinion on that.
You can't. I mean, I'm talking about not give away, but for $1.
Well, if they come and make an offer, then we can do a private sale. And,
right.
Because you got to advertise it.
Yeah.
You have to advertise
it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, you're not going to get anybody that's really going to bid on this that's not an adjoining landowner.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. So to your point, it's a good point. But let's leave it on the list, right? So we're going to advertise all these together. You're right. I don't think anybody would want to buy a little strip of land next to somebody else. They'd probably pick it up for nothing. But I would suggest, Jody, of these two, that we do no minimum.
Right.
No minimum, because what Jody recommended to us, that we put the tax value at the minimum. Right. So this way we can remove that. Okay, great. So the next thing I'm going right down below, which is 145 County Farm Road, which is a vacant piece of property. The land value is $26,883. Jody, do you have that one?
You said 145.
145 County Farm Road, Windsor.
Okay, it's all the way down the bottom.
Yeah, now right. Well, you.
Well, it's under the foreclosure.
Yeah, I'm looking at a different list. It's not part of foreclosure, but it's next one under it.
Right, I see it.
Okay.
Yeah, so this, but you got your ditch draining through it.
Yeah, has a drainage ditch running through it. Do we have what's your assessment of that, Jody? Any value to the county as for our purposes? Yes.
Yes. For the record, that is the piece of property that we're looking at for the new animal shelter, should it be built.
Right beside, yeah, beside the bus garage. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's why we're going through, though. Great. Okay. That takes care of that. All right. Now, the next one is 1008 North King Street. This is the food bank. As you know, Good Shepherd Food Pantry is moving to the middle school along with Carolina Rebuilders Ministry.
Did you skip out? You want to skip over that other one?
Wayland?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Jody. That's 1006 Wayland Street. That's the old gym and DSS building. And it's a metal building there. You see the value of the land and the value of the building, right? This is a property we've had for some time, 6+ acres. We think it's really prime property. This is one that we think we can get some really good interest in. We're going to keep Mitch's building on the corner, not include that in it. But the other two buildings and the 6+ acres, we'd leave together. One time there was some talk about looking at subdividing it and getting into that stuff for county.
I talked with the town manager today. That is zone R10, so that's residential.
Right. Good enough. So what is your pleasure on that piece?
Sell it.
All right. Great. Thank you. And we suggested that we look at just the land value because there really is no value on the buildings, right? That's $181,575 on the land. Joe, do you think we should still include the full amount, the $250, or just go with the land value?
I think of land value.
Land value?
Yeah.
Okay. So wealth, everyone? Okay, great.
And I think one thing to note that you and I have spoken about is the county is selling these as is. That we are not looking at trying to find demolition grants and tearing the buildings down ourselves. It's sold as is.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say you were going to keep?
We're going to keep the right there with my the old gym, which is being used by EMS, emergency management for storage.
And Mike, if you've never seen that, that's all of the supplies in case of disaster. We have a boat in there. We, load it with all kind of food supplies and the whole works for us. So we don't have another place for that at this point, right. But we can segment that out. Okay. Now, okay. So that's one, Jody. We've got that one. So now we got 1008 North King Street, which again is where Good Shepherd is. That whole property there is valued at $134,390. We've owned that for a while. Good Shepherd is pleased to be moving to Greater Digs, and we're pleased to have them so they can service more people there. So that's $134,390. What is your pleasure, boy?
Sell it.
All right.
Ready? Yeah, I would say once we contract with the auctioneer, is to get their opinion on minimal bids.
On minimal bids.
See if they're in agreement with us.
And Lord, if anything that we're discussing here that doesn't have muster, please bring it to our attention. Okay. Now, here's an interesting property at 1028 Charles Taylor Road, which is in Snakebite. It's the old landfill. It was acquired in 1972. It has a value on that of $171,729. Most of that is land. There's some kind of building there. It's not much.
That is $300. I just had it marked down. So it's 1.17 acres that is being leased by Republic as a solid waste site.
Okay.
And that's right. That's going to be right here at the very beginning.
Okay. That's a convenience site they got over there.
Right. So that could be that 1.17 or however you want to do it could be split out.
Yeah. And so everybody knows, this is the old landfill that we closed the day before the state changed the regulation around it so that, we didn't have to do some other things to it since we were closing it. And we felt like it was very safe. It's all lined, the whole works. So, but we think there may be some use for that. I don't think it would be certainly at the value, Jody, do you think, of the land of that? At $169,000. Seems like an awful lot, but we might get something out of it.
How many acres are there, Jody?
100
acres. That's $1,600 an acre.
Okay.
That's cheap here.
Okay. That could be great. So what is your pleasure on that?
Sell it.
Okay. Great. Motion is that we sell it.
Now, I would like to say this, Mr. Ray, if you can get a hold of somebody with the state and see if we can sell it, because it is a closed landfill. Mm-hmm. That could be an issue.
When was it closed?
Lord, do you remember? It's the day before they changed those, before we came on the board, but the day before they changed the ruling on that.
I was going to see if there was an environmental study done.
Not sure, Jody.
But you need to check that before we put it out there.
We've got a file on it.
So okay. Well, we can check to be sure. But let's be sure, right? Before we put it, Okay. And next is a very interesting piece of property here. It's at 1419 South King Street, the entrance to DSS. If you're going in on Jasper Baysmore, it's the property there to your right. It's in front of the water retention, and I think the retention pond was built with the capacity to actually serve this property as well. We've had that since 2006. Very nice piece of property. I think there'll be a lot of interest in it. $56,325.
One question I have, if you look here right beside the road, that strip, I don't know why y'all would have split that out like that. That one strip goes with it that comes all the way down to right there.
That's some kind of easement to it when they put the road in with Jasper Baysmore Road into the new DSS?
That's what happened.
That's okay. Right.
It
was yeah. So we just leave that alone.
So I mean, if the board wanted to, we can just combine it into the other two parcels.
Can you? Well, do that? No.
No, we don't own that.
I think Pittman owns one of them.
Yeah. Okay.
So which ones does he own?
That'll have to stay as it is.
On the other side.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he owns one on Mr. Pittman owns the one on the other side, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And both of them.
Okay.
And that is owned commercial.
Okay. Right. Okay. Now this is the one, John, that you were mentioning. This is 204 South Queen Street. This is the old cooperative extension building here. And the land value in that is like about $10,000. The building is $62,000. We can't do anything with it because it's in a floodplain. We didn't get paid off on this, though, did we, Jody?
We did it from the insurance company.
The insurance.
Yeah, there was no, it wasn't part of the buyout.
Right.
Right.
So one of the things that was considered, that we should consider, is that, believe it or not, this is fairly valuable property. As you'll notice, some of the other on Queen Street, people have decided to build up over the floodplain. So you can do that on this land.
That's actually zoned office institutional.
Well, that could be changed.
So you'd have to get it rezoned.
But it may have value in talking to Windsor that maybe someone would be interested in building there.
It would be one thing we could run this across Windsor and see if they wanted that piece of property also, because they got a community center right across the street.
Yeah. And you don't mean give that to you.
No, not at all.
But they could always bid on it too.
But I would make that call to Alan.
Wait, hold on to that thought. We got some more.
Guns. We end up a couple that we do want to give them, right? But I think we want to dispose of this, right? But depending on how we do it, Town of Windsor is always our friend. So let's have a conversation with them, Joe.
And that parking lot is used a lot for that community building.
Sure. Yes. Sure. Yeah. So if they might want to, engage in it and bid for it and own it. Okay. I think we want to include it. I'm going to move on the next one at 407 Winston Street. We're going to mark that off the list. We're not going to consider that at this point. I think a lot of us understand that. The next one is the old library at 204 Dundee Street. That's the old library, has a value on it there of $341,000, a land value of $11,500, and $329,000 on the building. It's has flooded, right?
Yes.
Several times.
Yes.
It's available for somebody to buy. We're not going to be able to do anything with it.
That is owned, that's downtown commercial.
That's downtown commercial.
So Jody, is that accurate? I'm not trying. That's accurate. That price
when it was good.
When it was good. That's right. But it's the largest office across the street that's been for sale for many years that now you sold for $100,000.
The thing about exempt property, nobody ever complains about the value because they're not paying taxes.
They're not paying taxes.
All right.
Okay. You're right, Mike. But it's not likely that we're going to get an awful lot for it. But it's sitting there unoccupied. I don't think we're going to be put in any use. So if there is some good use that it can be put to,
again, that's a town.
Yes.
We look at with them and see.
That's correct.
Yep.
Always. And stuff that's in the town with them. Okay, so we'll include that and we'll talk with the town. All right. Now, here's a couple of piece coming up that Jody wanted to talk to us about. That's 204 Dundee Street. This is Windsor. No, 206.
Yeah, Dundee that's the Street. Lot right that's beside. That's the lot. Now, the town is interested in that.
Yes.
Is that parcel 9102 you're looking at?
9402, right.
9402.
Right there.
So what is your pleasure on that? We do know that there's some interest in Windsor and having that piece of property.
I think there should be conversation money.
Again, there's two ways we can do it. We can offer it if we wanted to, right, Lord, as a private sale kind of thing or transaction, or we could put it out there and let them bid on it like anybody else. So what is your pleasure?
I think we need to put it out there in a little bit.
I think we need a relationship with the town, you know, and at least have a conversation with them first.
I think we should have a conversation, yeah. Right? And we can say to them, like, if they were to want to make an offer as a private bid, we'd consider it. But we also, they may choose, thinking that nobody else is going to buy it, to come in with, you know. But that's why we need to have some kind of minimum on this that we think the value should be, right? We don't want to just give it.
Right.
So you see it has some potential. It's right there across from what Solid Foundation, I think, is on that corner where they have their respite operation. So it's right across that parking lot. It's
not I think the owner over here may want it.
I think has that owner sold the other piece of property yet?
Okay, Ed.
I will say that I know for a fact that this property is going to be worth 5 times.
I know for a fact. I remember you telling me.
And so the next one has some similar interest. This is at 101 Dundee Street, and this is the house across from the old sheriff's office, right? Now that is valued about 41.7.
That's when you're speaking about earlier, Commissioner Trent. That was yard purchase mainly to look for future parking.
Yeah. What is your pleasure? Do you want to keep that, or you want to put that on market? Now, I don't think we're talking about the place where the building is, but that's what we bought for the parking. But on the other side of it, right?
That's that whole area right here.
Yeah,
that's it. It goes all the way up to the old extension office.
We want all
of it? I think we want all of it. I mean, I don't know. Is there any? I haven't been in that building. I mean, is that building?
No, it's been flooded.
It's flooded. It's not
a town.
I think we should keep the whole piece. And that way we can expand it. We need to expand it even further from there as far as parking goes.
Okay.
It needs to be.
All right. So what you're saying, I think, is keep both pieces, the houses on and the piece.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is that a consensus for the group? Do we keep them? Oh, don't do it. Okay. Great. Now, next one is a piece that is 225 County Farm Road in Windsor. That's the old bus garage and the surrounding areas. This is a large piece of property. What's the acreage on this, Jody?
161.
Yeah, 161.
161. Now, that building, is anything being used in there at all? That's the old bus garage. Sheriff, you have some stuff in there now?
Yes.
Okay.
Convoy vehicles in, and we use it also for vehicles involved in major cases. Like it's stored now with the vehicles.
Yeah. Now I know that building has some issues with it too, with leaks and all kinds of things, right?
Yes, it does. And I just haven't had the opportunity yet to start focusing, because a lot of this stuff is considered evidence and it's not secure as I want it to be, but I just haven't had the time to visit it yet to.
Sure.
But eventually we're going to probably have to move out of that building because it's not fully secured.
Right. Jody, is the land, the property is, how many acres again did you say?
161.
Right. So the building is just a small fraction of that property, right?
Well, if you look at that property, I mean, all that in there is nothing but swamp. Wetlands.
The size of the land, that's wetlands back there.
Oh, that's
right?
All wetland.
Okay, so there's not much whole lot to that then.
How far back does that go, Jody?
All the way to the river.
So it's that whole part green there, correct? That's outlined in green?
Right. Yeah, that dark part to the left of it.
It's also going across the road. So you got coming up here across from the new bus garage, EMS building. the jail is split out. But it goes all the way from here, all the way up.
Okay.
I don't know what we do with that. I mean, I don't know if we want to put that in anybody else's hands or the township.
I like to walk it. I mean,
sometimes, man.
I mean, it's right there by the jail.
We need to save it because keep it because sometimes the state come through and buy wetlands for matching when they do the highway project. They got to reverse and buy so much wetland for highland.
The other thing is too, to Commissioner's point is that you says 161 acres,
right?
You could very easily lease it to a hunting, and they could hunt it also. And I'm telling you now, you get $30 an acre.
Hang on, that's I don't see the town line. No, I don't know the town line.
That's the next question. Is it in the town limits?
On one side of County Fall Road, on the other.
You would think they would be on the on that side. That's the left side facing. That's the closest to the town.
Yeah, I don't.
Right on the left side.
Can we investigate?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't think they go back that far?
I don't think they go back that far.
But I don't know. I don't know if I'd feel very comfortable with selling that property with the jail there and with, right. But maybe there's some other use that we could get to it if the lease is a possibility.
It is.
That could be very interesting. And Sheriff, also, I know you're using the building, but at some point, right, you're going to look to do something else. So, you know,
for the evidence part, we do have some convoy vehicles in it. I think we have our side-by-side, our four-wheelers in it. But it's just a small portion of the building.
Right.
And so I'm sure that we probably can find something else. And again, the building is not in the best condition at all. No.
Right. So building has been considered at all. No, it's done by the state.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, but, and like I said, we have a few things in there.
Right. It's had has. That's the reason the school board and school bus garage is no longer there because it has been condemned by the state.
Out there, we put some duck impoundments out
there.
I think I'm telling you,
we should be good because the only thing that we need
to right. That's just been what the people in there working.
Mm-hmm. Our boats is secured somewhere else, so we're good.
Right.
Okay.
What you see in green is town limits.
All right.
Okay. Well, so it's not in town
limits. Right. Okay. Well, that's a good thing. Because the idea about being able to lease that could be a very good thing for us. But I don't think, Julie, I think the consensus is we don't want to sell that property right. at this point. We can control it, and we can still do something with it that can bring revenue. That would be a great thing.
That could give us some repeat revenue.
Oh, yeah. And that would be significant. All right, couple of more, gentlemen. Yes.
That properties like that with the resiliency plan, anything that's along the rivers.
Take a look. I mean, we own it. Let's put it to some good use. Let's see what we can do. Open it pretty much anything, I think, at this point. 128 Wakeland Road is the property behind Green Cross Church. It is not right next to the church. I don't think the church has any particular interest in it, but it is a fairly large piece of property. How many acres is that, Jody? But a lot of it is wetland.
10 acres.
10 acres, but a lot of it is wetland.
This area right in here with the grayer looking trees, that's wet in here.
So that only has a value of $7,668. Well, I don't think, certainly we don't have any use for it. So sure. May have a use for it or whatever, but I think let's put it on the list, right?
So look.
Okay, and the last one is an interesting piece. It's 105 Joyner Street, which is right across from Powell and Stokes. Again, this is a property that the town, Jody, was the town interested in? We own it.
Okay, right? This is what happened. And I've spoken with Jonathan on this. We couldn't figure out why all the other buyouts were done through the town, and this one was actually done through the county. And he remembered that and remembered questioning it and was told that's just how it was. Which the same type, same as a buyout. That deed was just done last month. So the town is waiting on the funds to demolish it.
Okay.
Now they own all this other property around it. And talking with Mr. Castillo, well, the couple pieces they don't want. Most of those that were done through the buyout, the town owns. They don't want it. They want to know if y'all want it. Not just this, but everything they own out there.
Oh, no. There's nothing we could do with it. We can't build on it. We can't do anything. Whatever you could do, maybe a little park or something, but out where it's located, that wouldn't be of much value.
Less water. No.
You know. Yeah.
Right.
So we just leave that. Well, but at some point, we're going to have to deal with that building, right? Because it's an eyesore.
That should be handled with Chris Hilbert.
So they're still, did apply for funds to demolish it. We just haven't received anything on it yet.
Right.
Oh, okay. Let's go with that. Now, I think that you had, was there a couple of other pieces of equipment or things like that from any other departments? Did we have anything that came?
We had, Mitch has one ambulance.
Okay.
Was it an ambulance, David, or was it a van?
Yeah.
Which one?
Is an ambulance or a van? Yes.
Truck or a van?
It's a van.
Okay.
Van. He did not have use for it. Do you have a value that you can put on that?
He didn't provide that.
It needed a lot of work to it.
I asked him. We didn't get into this afternoon.
Right. Okay.
And, will it run? I've asked him. Will it run? It won't run.
Mileage.
Right. So was there anything else?
The only other thing I did is I added a letter folder stuffer. It's a humongous machine that we bought 12, 13 years ago. We haven't used it in years. I don't know if another department may want to use it or just get rid of it.
Okay.
Well, in addition to those two pieces of property that Jody and David just mentioned, on page 47 of your packet, there are a few more items. There are 25 laser printers in the IT department. There are two LP gas heaters in the maintenance department. There's also a 1989 Ford Ranger maintenance, and there are some ball joint repairs that are needed for that. There's also a 2005 F-150 in maintenance, and ball joint repairs and a transmission replacement is needed for that.
All right. So your suggestion is that we look to move on those as well.
Yes, sir.
All right. So Jody, if you can add those in. The evaluation, and since we've gone through this, if you could kind of, you know, give us, we don't need to meet on it again, but just give us a clean list of these so that we can see it, total the value on it for what we think we're going to do, make sure if you're going to put a value, show that, if not, just, you know,
right.
List it as
the so two heaters he got, they were new and unused. I think they were bought for the Blue Jay facility and they weren't used. They're 200,000 BTUs a piece. Very nice.
Oh, they're wall mount.
But didn't the animal shelter just ask for one of those
like that?
The according to Anthony, the size of these heaters are too much for that animal shelter, and he had nothing else, nowhere else that in any of our buildings that these would accommodate.
Okay.
These are on. They got two wheels. It's the tube looking.
I know what you're talking about now. That they got the jet.
Yeah.
On them. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell you what, maybe something, you know, emergency services doesn't need something like this.
I can check with Mitch. And
I would check with Mitch because I would think emergency services.
200,000 BTU.
Something like this also.
Yeah. As you know, something that size is going. You have to put that in a pretty good size building. Yeah.
Exactly.
And those might have a lot. Those are brand new, right?
Yeah.
They could have a lot of value.
No, I get it. But, I think that if emergency services has a way to use it, then we ought to, you know, ease it back to them, let them take a look at it.
Yeah.
Let's check it out.
Why? What's your recommendation on that? What was your recommendation for these? Well, initially, recommendation was to declare these a surplus property, but we can check with emergency management to ensure they don't. I don't think they do, but I want to speak for Mitch. We can see if he's interested, and if not, we can add him to the list. And if so,
perfect. The smaller ones that the animal shelter, those things were expensive.
Yeah. So I don't know if we want to take, I'm not saying take Anthony's, what he's saying is wrong. I don't know if we can investigate a little bit further just to see. I don't know if it's, I haven't looked at them. I don't know if they've got a control, a high, medium, or low, or if it's just straight 200 BTUs.
I'd hate to pass on them and find out. It could be something that we could have used there at the animal shelter. That's important.
Right.
Okay. Great. Any other questions concerning this one?
Oh, thanks, Joey.
Thank you
very much. Very, very much. Okay, great. Next, Juan, I think you're up with the discussion, you and Ms. Ward, on the pay schedule.
Yes.
Ron, this is your item that we...
Yes, so commissioners, as you know, this is a hot topic. It has been a hot topic since I've been here. Everybody wants more money. Everybody wants more money, and understandably so, because our pay scale has not been updated in some time. So some of it, you know, I understand to some degree. So of course, we've also had a recommendation from one or more of our commissioners to take a look at, Commissioner Robertson in particular, to take a look at having the minimum pay for Burton County employees be $15 an hour. And so we're going to take a look at exactly at doing that and how much it will cost and the best way for us to do that. And at the end, I'm going to have some options, other options for us to consider.
Oh, thank you. So, thank you, David.
Courtney.
I've been getting in trouble for not being loud enough. Bring this down to my level a little
bit. I guess.
All righty. So as Mr. Vaughn mentioned, we are here to discuss the Burton County salary schedule and classification plan and what adjustments would look like. We have identified a group of 22 full-time employees who currently have a salary that is equivalent to an hourly rate that is below $15 an hour. And you have this list included in your packet. It's the blue list on the very top in the landscape format. All right. So we're going to take a quick look at what the smallest as well as what the largest adjustment would look like on the list. So we'll start with employee number one, which would be the smallest adjustment. Current salary for this employee is a little under $29,000 at $28,787.91, which is the hourly equivalent of $14.76 per hour. To bring this person up to $15 an hour, we're looking at about a 24-cent increase. Now, that is a overall salary increase equivalent of $462.15. Employee number two, current salary is a little over $20,000, $21,658, with the hourly equivalent of $11.11 per hour. It would be about $3.89 increase to bring this employee to $15 an hour. Salary increase equivalent of, this is a typo, it's $75.92.13. Okay. So let's do a quick comparison of those two positions. So we have two employees, both in the same grade, but salaries are largely different. For the employee that has been with the county for 8 months, they would receive an increase of 35%, roughly 35%, due to the adjustment of simply raising these 22 employees to $15 an hour, while the employee who has been with the county for 5 years would only receive a 2% increase. This is very difficult. It's a very difficult adjustment because it would make compression a really huge issue.
Does your numbers also have matching for FICA and things of that nature?
So we'll talk a little bit about that further. I'm building up for you guys.
Right. Don't forget that people should know that we do have longevity pay.
Yes, right? We do.
Mm-hmm. Which has really been the only way that we've been able to make some distinction based on length of service beyond when you started, what you started at, and how you progressed, right?
Correct.
Because we've never had a merit pay raise kind of scale. It was everybody getting cost of living thing.
Correct.
Right?
To my understanding.
So that was the only adjustment that we had. Right. So I just wanted to make that clear.
As far as observing longevity, of course, we also have our accrual tables. So the longer you're with us, the more vacation you'll accrue each month. So outside of that. All righty. So slide five. Now we can take a closer look at how the adjustment would affect our overall salary schedule and classification plan. To begin, grade 54 is the first grade that holds an FTE on our salary schedule. If we were to raise the hiring rate to $15 an hour for this grade, we would essentially be increasing our lowest grade's hiring rate up $5.21 on an hourly rate. In doing so, the two lower tables, it shows the comparison that the increase for the lowest grade in comparison to all the other grades in the schedule. So grades 64, 63, all the way down to 55, all of those fall below $15 an hour. So increasing 54, we're essentially kind of skipping past all that. And that is shown here. This slide illustrates the jump that the lowest FTE field grade, grade 54, would see if we simply made the lowest starting salary $15 an hour. This grade would essentially jump past 10 grades that were originally classified above it. To that point, positions are classified in grades based on pertinent job duties and level of responsibilities within each role.
Okay, so, you know, it's easy to see what the jump would be, right? Mm-hmm. So, and at some point you're gonna say to us, well, if we did this, we'd have to deal with the others in between, right?
Because
of the compression.
Yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Because we've been here before.
Yes,
we've looked at this before, mm-hmm. and we did not. We did not handle it in a comprehensive way. We decided to give some relief to those really at the bottom, right? And all that does is make the compression worse. I want to say it right now. I voted against that. I was not in favor of it. It should have been something better, but it's all we have. I do understand it, right? But we don't want to repeat this, right? So I know you're going to offer some some ways to deal right. with this, right? Right? I mean, I'm just saying.
That's right.
You know, we don't want to do that again.
Okay, so. Right. Yes, sir.
Good. Mike, you're an expert on this. Mike, you're HR.
Let her finish before I talk.
Yes, sir.
Keep cutting her off.
So this slide will illustrate the compression that simply raising the minimum salary to $15 an hour would cause. As mentioned before, all positions within these 10 grades would essentially be paid at the same level, even though the positions within the higher grades have a higher level of responsibility and more complex duties within their roles. This is a direct view of the compression that this type of adjustment would create across several grades for more than 30 positions.
Question.
Yes, sir.
How old is this pay grade?
My oldest record, it could go further, but my oldest record is 2003.
2000 what?
30.
20 years.
Sir.
You know, we can do better.
That's why we are here today.
Okay.
Presenting to you.
We got to do better. 23-year-old and we still live. Nah. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. So. All righty. So now if we were to adjust the salary schedule for these 10 grades with the lowest grade starting at $15 an hour, this slide shows what the salary schedule adjustment would look like and how much of an increase we could see with the starting salary. So lowest grade, grade 54, that we talked about that jump about $5 and some change. Each grade is going to have a subsequent increase of that range. And of course our grades are separated by about a 4.3% increase. Ranges are about 67.4% from the minimum to the max difference. Increase. All right. So simply adjusting grades 54 to 64 alone would put those starting salaries and subsequent ranges equivalent and or above salaries that are classified higher in the salary schedule, which again significantly contributes to the overall compression for positions within grades above these. Then this just breaks down. If we were to increase, these are all of the positions that our lowest classified positions would be equivalent to or above. All right. So let's take a look at costs for this type of adjustment. There's a three-part consideration to make when adjusting salaries across the classification plan, or another way to phrase it is transitioning to a new pay plan. Part one would be simply transitioning. This means placing all employees who are below the new minimum at the minimum to be compliant with our policy. This reflects an overall cost of roughly $1.2 million, which works out to be roughly 8.5 cent tax increase. Second part to consider, as discussed before, we would need to address the compression that the transition will cause. If we don't, we could see people starting today making more equivalent to someone who has been with the county for years. This reflects an overall additional cost of roughly $1 million on top of the $1.2 million for the placement on the new pay plan, which works out to an additional rough estimate of 7.15 cent tax increase. So the third part to consider, like we talked about, those benefits, right? When salaries are adjusted, of course, benefits have to follow, as majority of our benefits are percentage-based due to general statute, federal law, and then our local offerings for benefits. This reflects an overall additional cost of roughly $660,000, which works out to an additional rough estimate of 4.7-cent tax increase. So the overall approximate cost for adjusting the minimum hiring rate for all Bertie County full-time employees would have a price tag of $2.6 million, which is a 20.35-cent tax increase. And this is in addition to what we already budget for the positions. This is on top of what we already have in place. So this basically covers all of the positions that solely fall on the Bertie County salary schedule, which does not include positions within the EMS and Sheriff's Office. These schedules have had some degree of adjustment in the past, but our main salary schedule has not, as we discussed, been adjusted in some time.
In fact, we've been with the sheriff several times, right?
Correct, yes, sir. So while this is a hefty overhaul, we do have additional options to present.
We do.
For your consideration.
Yes. And before we get into that, Courtney, if you'll just go back to that previous slide just for a second. I just want to pause here for just a second and acknowledge that, yes, it has been some time, clearly, since we updated the pay scale, right? However, a salary study that was done back in 2016. Mm-hmm. And again, I think you mentioned some things may have been done, Chairman, but none of the options that were presented in the plan were done. Those options range from $670,000 to over $800,000. And again, from it's my understanding that the board at that time did not act on this because it was so costly. Mm-hmm. So we're in a similar situation with this, wherein this is even more than what was presented in the 2016 study, and it's because we're taking a bigger jump. We're going from where we are now to $15 per hour, and that jump wasn't that big here. So, because I can't recommend a 20-cent tax increase, we have to talk about other options. And let me just say, I'm not against giving employees an increase. I wish we had the revenue to support paying a minimum salary of $15 an hour. I would love to do that. But that's my concern at this point is identifying the source of revenue, because I would not recommend a 20-cent tax increase.
What's the option, Mr. Manager?
Next slide, please, Courtney. So we have taken a look at doing an $11 minimum instead of, again, taking a jump to 15, doing somewhat of an increase. And first part of that, just transitioning to the pay plan, as you can see, would cost approximately $87,000. Again, making adjustments for compression would be slightly over $500,000. And then the cost for benefits would be over $180,000. So we're looking at a total of $786,000 there, still quite a bit. And we're looking at over 5.5 cents tax increase equivalent to do that. Still a lot, I know. And I know $11 isn't as much, but we did go as far, if you can go to the next slide, Courtney. Mm-hmm. We did do $12 minimum. And again, that put us over $1 million to do that, an additional $1 million, which is an 8-cent tax increase. So I just wanted you to see the cost of even doing that is even still significant. So you can go back, Courtney. Mm-hmm. I would definitely, if we were going to do something, this, you know, $11, again, not quite as much, but it is an increase, and it's an increase to the entire scale, which means everyone's salary would be adjusted. So this is just something for us to think about, and we'll...
Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
For a person that worked for $11 an hour, that putting that person in property. You know, I mean, I'd rather see positions cut and money put back in the department.
In order to achieve, you know what I mean? And that is what would have to happen. And do we want to do that?
Yes, sir. $11 an hour? And you can get more than that going down to see Miss Little.
Yes, that is true.
You can get more than $11 an hour if you go see Miss Little and get on welfare.
Oh,
We knew this is going to be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to misrepresent what I thought I heard, Commissioner Robinson. You know, there may be some positions that could be cut, but we run a lean staff, as you well know, right? I don't think there's a lot of fluff anywhere in our government. I mean, when you compare us in terms of size to what we do, it's not a lot of places to cut bodies. Now, is there a possibility to do something? I'm sure there is. But I don't think that is going to make up the breadth of this, right? So at some point, we're going to have, I put it this way, I've seen two organizations recently, 2 years ago, the Mideast, who had the same issue, right? And they had tried before raising just minimum salary. They were down to the bare bones staff. So every time you raise minimum salary, you just make the situation worse. That makes sense, right? Push people up. So what they had to do was bite the bullet and do this. But they did it over a period of what was 3 years to say, in 3 years, we want to be here, right? And they did it in three chunks. I mean, that's what they did. They had the resources to do it without impacting their service to five counties. So, I mean, we're looking for...
I have a different question.
Okay.
This sheet you gave us
mm-hmm.
that has the lowest minimum,
mm-hmm.
there's nobody at 11. Everybody's 11 or above.
Well, so yes, that is... the employees who are at 11-11 are in grade 57. This would be increase in grade 54.
So we don't have anybody on grade 54.
We do, but they've been here longer than the people who are at 11-11, so their salaries would be higher.
Right, gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
So we have people work for the county, make $11 an hour?
Yes, sir.
Less than
$11 an hour.
They could, yes. Yes, sir.
How can we afford to retain them? You know, we look at retention, we talk about retention and keeping the people here in Berkshire County, these good employees we have, and we can't afford to pay them $11, $15 an hour. You know what I mean? I think it's just like talking to the town of Windsor. They don't pay their people $11 or $12 an hour. Know why? The people come to work have to go to work. They don't help people hanging around and sitting on light poles and holding shovels up and everything else and walking up and down the hall seeing what John and Mary's doing. If we cut manpower, we can get the people where they need to be and put their salary into the other people's salary. Some jobs we don't have the appetite and fill that position and give the people that's working more money and more responsibility.
So Ron, as a one thing I noticed when I was looking through this stuff, like y'all mentioned longevity. And I have to say out loud in this microphone where everybody can, that is a joke, what we call longevity here. So what I was going to say is, while we may not be able to raise that, could we look at longevity pay a little different? Because $200 is, I would not consider that a bonus to me. I don't mean that ugly to anybody. I don't think anybody in here did that on purpose with the best intentions, but could we look at doing something with longevity that still helps our employees to retain longer? I hear what you're saying and I agree with you.
Yeah, Commissioner, why can we put the longevity pay into their salary?
Right. That's the
clause. You know, and other options. We have, we give money to different nonprofit organizations.
Bring it up, so cuts down the money that we need to bring everybody.
Others, take some of that money and give back to your employees, the ones that on the ground with the boots working.
Salary. It still means we pay more.
You know, when we give money away, we got to look at who's hurting the people that work.
Some people get
$7. They ain't making $11 an hour.
Yeah, some people are high.
It's a shame. You know,
how much are we matching on 401k?
3%.
3%
for general employees, 5% for law enforcement.
What's our total output for longevity pay for the county? What is that in terms of dollars?
I can't.
William, do you have any idea?
William, there's been a question. I can't call
3% for general employees, 5% for law enforcement.
Okay.
What's our total payout estimate for longevity pay each year?
That's it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's $200 for 0 to 2 or 0 to 5 years at the max. If you work here 50 years, 50 years as the county, you're getting $2,000. If I work here 50 years, like, don't get me. I'm sorry, William.
I appreciate what you're saying, but about what, 3 or 4 years ago, the maximum was, I think, 1,000. And it stopped at a certain, like, 20 years.
Right. So I mean, a normal worker is going to stay 30. So you should max out at 30.
Well, let's get back to, I said something a second ago. And again, we got two HR people, and that I appreciate because it's one of those things that it's difficult. It's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've brought it up before. You know, everybody gets a county retirement if they stay a certain length of time, correct?
So are you talking about our local? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that cut off in 2016, but those who are hired before 2016, yes, they okay. do.
Now, I mean, this could be an option because a lot of people are looking at these things as like 401ks
mm-hmm.
to 2016.
You said we got 3%, we got 5%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matches?
Yes, sir. Well, we actually don't match. They don't have to contribute anything, and we still do 3 and 5.
See, that's the point of making.
Yeah.
They're not putting anything in. Why are we even doing this, and why don't we take that part away? Because they already have a retirement plan set up, right?
Under the pension system.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Pension system. Why don't we take that? Look at those numbers, how much money is actually going into the 401k program, okay? Because that was something that was put in as an extra, okay? And what I'm finding out from people that are new, younger employees, they want to benefit with their weekly output, what they got to live off of, okay? I mean, we're looking at what the increases would be on a taxable basis of the first slide of 20 cents, I think is what it worked out to be. I mean, let's see where it works out if we did something like that and leave it as an option as far as what people would want to do, okay? And take that percentage that we're throwing in there?
Well, general statute requires us to contribute the 5% to law enforcement. We do 3%
okay. Well, right now, we're not talking about law enforcement. We're talking about here, employees here, okay? Law enforcement, we dealt with law enforcement already. Well, 3 years ago, we raised them to one of the highest salaries in the state of North Carolina. Starting to pay was $40,000 versus $34,000. There was in Raleigh, Wake County, they were making $34,000, $35,000 starting out. And we raised our law enforcement to starting pay to $40,000. We also took care of the compression that we had with everybody, okay, in law enforcement. Law enforcement is way ahead of what our regular employees are.
What grade are they on, though?
I can't answer this question.
Okay, they're okay.
Definitely, I'm some happy HRs here.
Yes, and so two departments are broken out on their own mm-hmm. schedules, yes. And that's Department or Office of the Sheriff, mm-hmm. as well as EMS. All other employees are on the scale that we're talking about tonight.
Okay.
Right. And there are some salaried positions that fall in the EMS department and the sheriff's office that are on the schedule. Correct. But as far as like deputies and certified, like EMTs, intermediates, paramedics, those are the ones that are broken out.
Well, I do think it's worthwhile look, okay, on employees here, okay, and we're putting a 3% in there, whether they're putting anything in there or not.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't that go towards pay increase, okay, to, you know, get that number up to where we need it to be? Still, it wouldn't get us probably where we want to be. Let's check it out and see what the number is, see what the offset would be.
Well, that 3% would cut that 5.6% down
to 2.5
to a biteable chunk.
Yeah. It may make it work. And that's how I look at it. Yeah. I just think that that's a way to do that. And of course,
older person, not one of the
younger people. Okay, then William, you know what? Both of you guys, assistant county manager and finance officer, you can choose to keep it. I mean,
if you give a choice, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I brought this up once before.
You did. Okay. And a lot of the people who would take that choice are in your position, right, who have a higher salary anyway, you know, and so you're looking for that retirement piece because you're not going to be here that long.
That's right.
Option. But it'll be interesting to see how many people would do it, because if we have more people, where's the break in terms of our staff?
And So when you're looking at the address and compression number, right, that number's so high because we have so many employees who have 10, 15, 20 years of experience. So when you're addressing, or 20 years experience in their position, so when you're addressing that compression, you're multiplying some figure, whichever one you guys would like to approve, by 10, 15, 20 years. So those, I would assume, those are the ones who are, like William, would probably appreciate keeping their 3%.
And that's fine. That would be his choice. He could keep it.
But again, that three
choices like that, that I'm going to tell you, you need to hire another person right here for HR, because she can, nobody's going to be able to do that on their own. William is not like that.
Well, I do think it's not going to be an isolated case, but let's see where it's at. It could be a manageable issue. I don't know until we look at it. I mean, it could be 8 people out of what? How many people we got?
22.
Yeah.
22 that are below $15 an hour.
It could be 4 people. But, you know, I don't know.
We're talking about doing this for the entire organization, essentially, right? We're not looking at just giving increases to those 22 people. Yeah. But we're talking about across
the board. Exactly.
Well, it seems clear to me that there is not one single thing that we can do to solve this problem, because we don't have the funds to do one single thing to address any of that. So it looks like we're going to have to piecemeal this thing out into several different pieces. Maybe we do.
Right.
Look for what we can cut and where we can cut. As much as I hate to say that, but there may be some opportunity there, right? There may be some opportunity, John, to your point, of offering that choice. And especially, I think a lot of younger employees at the low end would say, great, I need that money now, right? That could help some. But even with those two pieces, I don't think that's enough. It's not enough to get us there.
Yeah, but it could give us, like we said a second ago, it could give us the offset to do what we need to do to make it happen completely.
Well, yeah, at some point. But I mean, I think, because we know where we stand right now on fund balance. We know where we stand on county budget, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're already under the guidance of the state on top of that.
We're still talking a tax increase.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Is what it's going
to
be.
We have to pass. So that's what I'm saying. It would take several different pieces, likely for sure an increase.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But you know, there were many other things that we thought we might want to be able to do with a tax increase. It's not the only priority. This is the biggest one in my mind. Well, but to look at those other pieces, I think we're going to have a multiple, is what I'm saying. Everything literally on the table to try to bring some equity folks who are, you know, who work here. Ron, I share your passion. We got to do it. Yeah. But we got to find a way to do it. Now, but it may come down to what can we do over a period. What the Mideast found is they had to do something over a series of years to get it there. They set a goal. Where do we want to be 3 years from now? And they did it over a period of time. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They couldn't get it all in 1 year, no matter what they did. But the employees knew that in 3 years, we're going to get you here. And that goal was above what the problem was. So there was some real, you know, future. But, you know,
I'm Commissioner Wilson, I appreciate that, those remarks, and you on my team. Same thing. Another thing I'm saying is this. If we didn't get 15, we ought to be able to get close to it, you know what I mean? With some other things that we want to cut and take other fundings we want to look at. You know, like Commissioner Russell said, if we didn't get there this year, maybe we can get there next year.
Where you can know? We get this year? Where
you know what I mean? What can we get this year? You know, and let me ask you, of course, and the manager, you may want to answer. Have we talked and communicated with any other counties how they paying their people or how much they paying, they're paying their people?
So I think the last time we requested salary schedules was maybe spring, I want to say. And there were some counties who were above us, right? They were the counties who had very high tax bases, whereas the counties who were similar to ours, I want to say was Martin, Washington, and Hartford, maybe. I think those are the three that we were pretty close to. And of course it varies, right? Some positions were classified higher, were classified lower. Some positions they didn't have that we had. So it just kind of varied, but we were, for those three counties, we were comparable. I don't want to say equal, but we were comparable.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a problem that is beyond us, but that doesn't change it. We need to do the right thing for our employees, period.
Right.
We got to. What anybody else is doing.
Just like I said.
Is it reasonable from what you've heard today, Courtney, to come back to us in fairly short order, looking at all three of these pieces? Maybe you have to have a hard discussion about where we can cut and some scales and what that would give us. If we look at the opportunity here, maybe we can survey some folks to see, hey, what do you think about this? What would you take? Get some idea, right?
Yes, sir.
And then also what we think that we might be able to do in terms of, well, if you did those pieces, we can look at the tax increase part ourselves to do that. But
I just have a different question. Because I'm with you, but what I cannot figure out when I talk to county manager is, once I get hired for the county, I get set a rate. And that's kind of where I'm at, unless I get a cost of living increase. Is that what me and you discussed?
That is correct.
Right. So what I would like to see, well, I mean, I want to see 11, 15, but like, even if I saw the steps and I saw an increase in my pay every year or every 5 years, I would be better with that than just jumping everybody up to $15 and starting. Because when you talk about longevity, you talk about like people wanting to stay, like me knowing I'm going to get an increase every year for the longer I work, that's what's going to keep me here.
Right.
Not a merit pay that I've heard y'all mention several times. Merit pay is not the answer. But like I would like to push us to get a scale, an actual pay scale for each pay grade. Correct. Whether it's every 5 years, there's an increase. Every 1 year, there's an increase. Whatever we can afford, like, it's what makes the most sense to me. Because, like, I get it, $10 an hour is not much. But if I could retire in 5 years, I'm making 12. In 10 years, I'm making 50. Like, I can see progress. And hopefully, I'm going back to school or getting a different pay grade eventually anyway.
And again, to your point, since I've been here for 10 going on 11 years, there has practically been every year, you're talking about a cost of living increase, okay, of anywhere between 2 and 3% at times, okay, every year that I can remember, but maybe one we didn't, okay. And so, yes, that has been done prior to the years you've been here. But I also know that we've, in the past, have tried to increase these different benefits and adding to the 401ks and things of that, and point taken, reference to people who are to the stage that, you know, want that retirement. But we've got to let the people have more of an option. Do they want to go there? Do they want to do this? Do they want that percentage put there, or would they rather have that percentage paid up front to them?
Right.
Okay. And I think that's a choice that they need to make up front. And go from there. And then we look at the taxable revenue and see what we would have to do to make things work out to be able to get that wage where we really want it to be.
To Mike's point, however, Mike, if I heard you correctly, and I think it's right, that across the board really doesn't do anything, because that's just truly keeping you at the same place, because it's the cost of living rates, right? But what I heard you say, though, I heard what Mike say, is in addition to that, having a step scale, which is totally different than that. Right?
Yep.
Whether you keep the cost of living or you do it when you, but we're having a sit. So it's there in black and white. People can look at, know what they're going to get. So let's add that piece to it. So now we got three options. We're going to look at the cuts in salary. We're going to look at what we do to choice.
And that's right.
In.
Yep.
We can look at what we're going to do in terms of potential around tax increase. We can look at what we do on a step scale, right? That gets people there, right? And I thought, and maybe that's better than saying I'm going to do it this year, next year, 2 years, whatever. What does that get us? Is what I'm saying. What does that get us? So how soon would you be able to take some good look at this, come back to us with some kind of analysis, so that we don't want to drop this ball? We want to keep this going. We got some time now between now and new budget, right? So we want to be aggressive.
Yes. So our next meeting outside of strategic planning, of course, is on March 6th. So we could do it there. However, we do have a
a work session 2 weeks after that. And this is really a work session topic. But if you want to do it March 6th, we can. But we're just able to dig in a little bit deeper during our work session.
Do the work session. Yeah, we'll put some time.
Two things. We could do the work session or we could flip the meetings and have the work session up front.
I agree.
So, you know, could you be ready by the 6th?
The 20th is better, but we could work. We could make it work.
Well,
I mean, there's a lot to do.
I'm going to leave it to your discretion. You tell us if you'd rather have it on the work session as we schedule now on the 20th, mm-hmm. or if you can be ready. Now, if you can be ready on the 6th, let's do it on the 6th. But if you can't and you need additional time to do it right, then let's do it on the latter meeting. Right?
I prefer the March 20th.
Okay.
Keep it scheduled like
March 6th.
Okay. We'll do it.
March 6th regular meeting, March 20th work session. So we'll discuss this at the March 20th work session.
Okay. Okay. We can dial that. Courtney, you feel comfortable with that?
I feel, yes.
And anything else? I mean, I would say this, guys. Mm-hmm. We're not the only ones who've dealt with this, mm-hmm. right? Have we looked outside? I mean, we have some support at the association. We have support at the LGC. Have we looked at some outside folks who've dealt with this and say, hey, Here's where we are. Here's some ideas we've come up with. Are we missing something? Is there anything else there? We've got a lot of experts here that we can call on, right?
Yes, sir.
And we need to do that.
We will.
You know, not just local counties around us. Some of them, the three you named are struggling too. I'm not sure, Ron, they're much better than we are. Some, like Washington, may not be. Anyway, so everybody is struggling. So let's see if we can get some expertise. Mm-hmm. Let's call on the association in particular, and they'll pay for it. And let's call for the LGC, right? And see if we can get somebody to really, I mean, some hands-on stuff. I don't mean somebody just to give you a phone call. I mean, to come and work with us, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mike? Corey? Dan?
John? No, I'm good.
Ryan?
No, okay. I'm going to wait and see what I have on the 23rd. But we have plenty of options out there, you know, because it's very, very turn to smell. It's very, very ridiculous for a person to work an hour for less than $10 an hour. That's slavery pay.
So the objective is to get to that first scale, that 5.8. That first scale, that 8 cents, if we could, right?
Yes, sir.
That 5.6 cents.
The 11.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, is this the one you're referring to, Commissioner?
Yeah. Is that going to be our goal? Or is our goal going to be something to get to the 12? Okay. Let's say that. What is our goal here? To get to, what are we asking them to come to get to the 5.6 or get to the 8 cents? 8 cents would give us to $12 an hour.
Much as we can.
Well, but no, we want to give them a goal. So they come back to us with what we got to do to get there. Do we want 8?
We want 8.
Okay. I just want step scales.
That can be a piece of it.
Step scales are not going to increase the base pay, though, is what I'm saying.
Right. That's, it won't. So, but it's something that should be there because it gives a person some understanding of where they're going to be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years, whether they get promoted or not, right?
In a step scale with implementing this would essentially go hand in hand, right? Because that's how we're addressing the compression. We're putting them through system. So
It should cut off your new plan, though. It should cut off that whole $200,000 because it's just going to be compression for you going up as you get old, like the old, longer you're there. Because you're not going to move anybody up to $12.
I see. You get what I'm saying?
Like, yes, so it saves you money right there in the beginning.
Right. Looks like we got a plan. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All righty. Next thing is the 2023-24 budget calendar. County manager?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. On page 49 in your packet, it's just a copy of the calendar for you to have. We are officially in budget season during our January 30th department head meeting. We had our budget kickoff. And so within the next week, budget documents will be distributed to department heads. Budget requests will be due from departments on March 8th. Of course, in the month of April, we will have department meetings with department heads. On the 22nd, my goal is to present a budget to you. And on May 23rd,
through June 2nd. If you could take a look at your schedules, though, that's the time frame where we usually have our budget work sessions. We usually have it at least two.
What days of the week are those? Do you know?
I don't know right off, but I can tell you in just a second.
Which dates?
That the 23rd.
That's two weekend. How many work days is that in that schedule? I mean, the 23rd and the June 2nd.
So the 23rd is on a Tuesday, and June 2nd is the Wednesday of the, or Thursday of the next week, or actually Friday of the next week. So it's over essentially a 2-week span.
Okay. So, and I want to suggest this because we talked about this before. We try to do this in the past in 2 days, right? I don't see that. We need more time. We need time as a board to have those options to us. And you do a great job of getting, because you bring us a balanced budget, right? And we have to decide what else we need, right? I don't think we can do this in 2 days. And we didn't have 2 full days. This is going to be a way more in-depth kind of analysis. We need to look for every single place that we can cut, every single place that we need to move money. We need to do this right. Okay, this is too important. We already know what our, especially if we're talking about raising taxes, if that's on the table, right, then we've got to be able to really, truly justify that to every single citizen. This is their money, not ours. So we need to make sure that we have nailed this thing.
So you're saying we're going to have budget sessions for 9 days?
No, I said we, in the past, we've only had two.
Yeah.
And they weren't even complete days. And I think we need more than that. And we can decide what that is. 9 days? No, I think
I just wanted to make sure you got two working people on this side. These are not retired on this side. So 9 days in.
So we're, totally.
Listen, we work very hard being retired.
I didn't mean to work. I just meant like I had to work to live.
Oh, still. Yeah.
I'm not retired.
Pointing the finger. You know, anyway. They look this direction when they said
that's right, boy. Look that way.
No. No, but the point I'm making is that we need more than two half days, or 2 3-quarter days we've done in the past.
That's what days are we talking about again in June?
They're about
May 23rd through June 2nd, right, is the time frame we have for budget work sessions.
All right, so we'll address that later on.
Yeah, understand that we're going to need more than just that.
Yes, sir,
right?
And that's simply the purpose of providing you with the
at this point. Okay,
that's it.
Great, thank you very much. Strategic plan, you know that we're working on those February the 20th and 21st. Anything to add there? Or just a
nothing to add.
We're good, Robin? Still good? Great, thank you.
And then we're meeting at 9 that morning, correct?
What's the time frame?
9 o'clock. I believe that was the time.
We're not gonna do it sitting up here. We're sitting down here with the table spread, right? Yes. Yeah, well, so we can look each other in the eye. Okay. All right. 2023 NACO Legislative Conference is coming up Thursday through Tuesday. How many of us are going? Mike, I know you're not.
I'm not going. I'll be there.
John, I'm going. Corey. So 3 of us are going, right?
Right.
We can talk about coordinating, you know, some of the things that we're going to sit in, how we cover ourselves.
Okay.
You know, a little later. Is that good?
That's fine. Yeah.
All right. Now, the one other thing I added to the agenda, and Commissioner Robinson wanted to talk about communication. So I'm going to turn it to you, Commissioner Robinson. And
thanks. Thank you, Chairman Wilson. My thing was any event that the county is having, we need to get it on the webpage, and we need to get it, if possible, to the churches, so that everybody would know what's going on in the county. I have a problem with the Council of Aging and events, and don't nobody know. And she don't tell us at our workshop last month that participation was very low, right? Okay, if participation is really low, why? We ain't getting out. People see me, food line, on the track, walking. What's Robinson, what y'all doing? I don't hear nothing from the county. The word need to get out. We got to do a better job in communicating our events and what's going on with county government.
Now, when Commissioner Robinson mentioned that at the session last week and talked to him since then, so that's what we put on the agenda. But I had a conversation with the county manager, if I can share that.
there is no place in Bertie County that a citizen can go to and say what's planned in the next month or anywhere on the calendar. The Chamber of Commerce tried to do that years ago and never followed it through. So there's no place. We get a lot of hits on our page, Facebook page and county site. We have a calendar there, but it rarely has anything other than just some limited number of our events, right? Very limited number. So the suggestion I made to Juan is that, couldn't we create a form? Because Ron, I think it needs to be more than just the county's events, county government. It should be everything happening in the county that can go in one place. So a citizen, if they're planning an event, can look and say, hey, I don't want to plan it on this date because it conflicts with something else, right?
Right.
So if we had an electronic form that had the key information, the name of the event, the time, the date, contact person, and a little something what it is, electronic form. So a person can look on our site, fill that out. That electronic form could then feed the calendar site.
Right.
So it takes the heading, the date, and the contact person. And that's what feeds. Because the trouble is, you know, who do we get to handle that paper? If we could do it paperless so that you fill it out, that form feeds it and puts it on the calendar. You know what I'm saying? People could see it. You click on the calendar, right, on that line, and then it shows you the whole thing,
right?
I mean, that's not that difficult to do.
Right. And, my point is this. Electronic or either people. We need to do a better job.
Great. I mean, like you, I hear it all the time.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many events. Even when we had our 300th anniversary,
exactly.
I can't tell you how many people said, gee, I didn't know you were having it. Why? We advertise in the newspaper. It has a circulation of about 6,000 people. Not that many people get it. And a lot of them are outside of Bertie County, right? And so where else do we put it? On our website, on Facebook? Yeah, we get that, but we're missing so many blocks of folks.
Right.
So if everybody could know, we could advertise that we're doing this.
Right.
You want to know what's going on in the county? You want to know when things are being planned? Check our calendar online. And we could do it. So it did not require a lot of physical labor, right? You want to post it, you fill out the electronic form, that form will feed the calendar, people see it. So you're going to ask Scott to look at that.
Yes, I began having conversations with IT Director Scott Pierce about that. And he reminded me that, remember, that is something that we did in the past. We actually had a community calendar on our website, it's not there anymore. It was deleted because remember we talked about that? It was deleted because it was nothing on it. It wasn't being utilized by the external community.
Yeah.
So it was available at a certain point, but it no longer is. We talked about taking it off because it was not being utilized.
Let's like Ron said, let's advertise it. Let's do it. And let's make sure that citizens know this is the place to come and get it. We need them to come in. Anyway, it's lovely having a meeting like this. A lot of presenters here, but you know, we need as many folks in the town to know what we're doing and know what's going on in the county as possible. So if it works, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So go with everyone. Sit. Okay. So now next thing is a commissioner's report. Let me start with Ron. I'll start with you down here.
Commissioner Wesson, I'd like for every and each person to be on the alert March 7th, when voting regulations and voter ID restriction goes back to court. And the redistricting goes back to court March 7th, 2023. We want to look out for that because something that you may be able to add at some point to your representative that may help.
Richard, I'm good.
Okay.
Richard, I'm good. I have nothing.
Richard Balance? I only have one thing, and this is some good news. A lot of you know we've been working on the teacher housing project for now for a few years. And I guess up until about a couple of weeks ago, we were about $300,000 short, right? $4.2 million project. We own the property.
We've raised over $1 million in community funds ourselves here, but we were still $300,000 short. So I went back to Golden Leaf. They had graciously given us $277,000 a few years ago that we had not spent because we're still trying to get the rest. I just got notified last week on Friday that they have granted us $250,000 additional dollars in grant to this project. So now we're only $50,000 short of building this housing. So the State Employees Credit Union at 15 years of 0% interest is expanding our terms to give us more money. And so we're gonna have to raise the rent a little bit, but still gonna be below market rate. And so it looks like we're gonna make this happen.
Are these gonna be 2-bedroom or 3-bedroom?
2-bedroom, 2-bath units.
How many square feet?
John, I wish I could tell you, I could show you the plans, but you know, they're big, big walk-in closets on each one. Very nice size kitchens, fully appliance, you know, with great appliances.
It's 1,000 to 1,200 square feet somewhere in there.
It's big. They're the same size the bedrooms, like 2 bedrooms, 2 baths.
Yeah.
And they are gorgeous. I mean, we don't have anything like it in this county.
When would it start, Ron? When would the project be let?
Mm-hmm. We're ready to do it. The end of March is when we have to close. End of March, and we plan to have a groundbreaking in mid-April. That we have 15 months to build the units. The reason we can't do it for the new school year, Mike knows this. We looked at it, we'd have to add a premium of $300,000+. That's why we came up with that figure. If we had to try to get it for the upcoming school year, we knew we could not get that in time, right? So we had to push it back, which now cuts the price back to $4.24 million, and they can do it over 15 months. So it won't be ready for this school year, but it'll be ready for the next.
Okay.
But the thing is, they're gonna start construction on this thing in late April. So citizens can see it, they'll know it's real, they'll know it's coming, and they'll see it develop right in front of them.
Right. And you have, you know, delay with the $50,000. If it go over $50,000, well, and like we talked before, you always can do a balloon note at the end of the present note.
We didn't anticipate this,
right?
Because to be honest with you, I'm having another conversation on Friday with Golden Leaf. I want to understand why they didn't give us the full three, because they only can fund infrastructure. And there's $900,000 worth of infrastructure on this project. We asked for three and they gave us 250 without any explanation of why we didn't get the full 300. So, I mean, you know, I appreciate this and you know, trust me, but we need to understand that, right? So we're talking with Casey Ginsburg, who's a little higher up. She's a decision maker. So I don't rule out that we might be able to get the extra 50.
Right.
Okay. We have other options.
Right. That's right.
Hope we can do that. Okay, great. So county manager's report.
I have one item,
yes, Chairman,
and I've shared the letter with you. You all have it at your seats, but we received a correspondence from the LGC, the Local Government Commission, informing us that we have been placed on the 2022 unit assistant list for two reasons. One is the fund balance available being low, substantially less than comparable counties. And the second one is because of the findings in the area of DSS related to Medicaid eligibility and ineffective case review process. So as a result, there are four items that are required. And those items are outlined here, which includes an in-person virtual visit with LGC staff with me and the finance officer, 6 clock hours of education for the manager, the clerk verifying and maintaining the record of the completion of that. And then lastly, fiscal training for newly elected or appointed members of our board. And so there will be options for in-person training, but that training that will also be offered virtually. So that being said, they have required us or requested that we or that the board sign this agreement. So please see me before you leave so that I can have your signature so that we can return this and make sure that we adhere to the items that they have required us.
And which copy are we signing? We're all signing.
I have a copy here for you so that you can all sign the same copy.
Right. So you don't have to list this out, but
the problem number one, the fund balance is lower. Mm-hmm. I hate to ask this considering we're talking about trying to increase money, but what's in place to get our fund balance up to where it needs to be?
So a few things, and our fund balance policies mention us having a plan. And so the plan that we have, the board and I have identified so far, is number one, not appropriating fund balance just to balance the budget. Number one, that's a very big one. Number two is back in fiscal years 2020 and 21, the budget was drastically cut, like over $1 million. And so continuing to maintain those budget cuts, you know, at a certain point when I first became manager, it was the spring of 2020, we actually cut budgets that particular year for department, for all departments, where we only did essential things that were essential. If it was not absolutely essential, did not absolutely need to happen, we didn't do it. And so that saved us a lot of money that year. The next thing I would say is identifying the source of revenue. When things come up in the mid-year that are not a part of the budget, identifying a source of revenue, not taking it from fund balance. And then lastly, it's just simply adhering to the requirements set forth by the LGC and make sure that we're taking all of the necessary training so that we can learn as much as we can.
And Mike, I'll just add a little piece to that. We went from having a good, strong double-digit fund balance, and we depleted that in almost 2 years. A lot of issues that faced the county. But, you know, when you, there are consequences, every action you take, every one. Sometimes there are things that you don't see that that happen. So go.
My second question is, have the dates been set yet for the
training?
The training, no. The in-person, is it?
No, sir.
Okay. We're getting those done soon, though.
Absolutely.
Great. Anything else, Warren?
That's all I have.
Okay. County Attorney?
I have none.
Great. Before we are going to have a closed session, but before that, we open again for public comments. Anyone from public comments? Turn first to LaShonda. Do we have any public comments from folks on the phone, on Zoom?
Chairman Weston, we have one public comment from former Commissioner Tammy Lee. And she just wanted to thank you all for allowing me to continue to serve on the Tri-County Airport Authority. I will serve with 100% and will keep you informed along the way. Thank you again.
Great. I'm sure she will. I'm sure she'll do a great job as she has done. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thanks, Tammy. Okay. Any others? Only that one, right?
Yes.
Any public comments here from folks who are here in the room with us? Any public comments from anyone? Great. Hearing none, take a motion to go into closed session.
I make a motion.
And that's pursuant to NC General Statute 143-318.11A34 and 6. Okay. So there's been a motion. Go into closed session. It's been second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. All right. We'll take just about 2 minute break. Ask everyone who's not involved in the closed session to leave if they could, please. And we'll let you know when we're back. Okay, we are back in open session. Thank you. Floor is open to the board for any consideration.
Mr. Chairman of the board, I make the recommendation that we support the recommendation coming from DSS on their pay increases and positions.
For the three.
Heard the motion. Is there a second?
There's a second.
It's been moved and properly second. Is there any further discussion for a vote? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Let's see a raise of hands, please. I can't hear the numbers. Let me see. It is passed. Thank you.
Four to one.
One nay. No, that's actually two nays.
Two nays.
Three to two.
Okay.
Right. So, and the chairman doesn't have to vote, but anyway, put it on the record.
Let's say they don't come to minutes. We didn't. Can you say who voted yay or no?
Oh, yeah. The yays were for Commissioner Robinson, Commissioner Trent, and Commissioner Ballin. they made it work for the fight. The chair does not have to vote, but I want to go on the record. So I'm voting. It passes.
Sorry. Thank you.
Good thing. Okay. All right. Now, mission, if nothing else, Hudson is it clear? Nothing else for the night, gentlemen? A motion to end the meeting.
Make a motion.
Okay, moving properly. Is it a second?
Second.
Moving to proper second. All those in favor say aye. thank you all.
Before you go, please. Come on, dude. Sorry.
You ran for the job.
Hey, man. Yeah.
I never have understood why y'all do this.